about. You gotta put it in
perspective. Welcome, 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 welcome. You are all jerks.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
We were on our way to the Chinese restaurant when we thought we saw Adam West, so we followed him.
Who's Adam West?
Who's Adam West? What do the two of you talk about after the coitus?
Adam West, Adam West. A little bit softer now. Adam West, Adam West. Adam West, Adam West.
Item 1, slow songs. I thought it would be a good idea if you ended each gig with a slow song.
No, we don't really have any slow songs.
So it's a clear no from you.
And now,
how you keep it funky and juicy is the funk is the rhythm and all that jazz and the soul of the music and all that stuff. But you gotta be lubricated now, almost like snot, you know what I mean?
Our feature presentation.
Come on, Charles.
I don't know that snot needs to factor into that equation at all.
It's not sexy.
He was just using another viscous fluid to give you an idea.
All right, that's fine.
I knew what he meant.
Oh, okay.
He didn't need any more examples.
Well, I needed an example.
I don't think snot is where you need to go with that. Lisa's right. It is not sexy. It is unsexy. Hey, you can get in on the Kevin and Bean Show right now by picking up the phone and calling us at 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free telephone number to be on the air for Kevin and Bean's Thursday edition of What to Do Nephew. Get on the air, get a prize. As you know, today it will be a brand spanking new Kevin and Bean t-shirt. So if you've always wanted one, today's your day. Just have something interesting to say. Hannah, you hang on. We'll get to you first in just a second. Speaking of viscous fluids.
Oh, no. Do we have to?
I'm afraid we do.
Okay.
Condomania is the company, and I'm reminded of this because Mike is wearing a hat today that makes him look like a giant walking condom.
Yes, that's true.
with the reservoir tip at the very top of his head. Condomania, I've never been in this store, but they have locations all over the country. They have a custom fit department where you can do specific measurements and you know, buy the condom that is most appropriate to your size. So they have taken that research, over 27,000 sold. They have taken that research to put out a list of the states with the largest and the smallest penises, which
no
I thought was very, very interesting.
Okay.
Well, I'm bringing the curve in California down, that's for sure.
Yeah, you certainly are. Where is, let me see, where is California on this list? California is not, 12th in largeness. 12th, not too bad.
That's not bad.
I mean, out of 50, not too bad. It's funny that I'm way more interested in the smallest states than the largest states.
Not me. I want to know. I see, my guess for the largest state, and I don't know why, the first thing that came to mind is Louisiana.
Georgia was for, whatever. Per capita largest black population,
right,
you win.
That's probably what happened, yeah.
By the way, and you're so right, because the largest cities, for instance, New Orleans and Washington, D.C., are the two cities with the largest penis size.
Oakland, Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah, you go where the brothers are, exactly. I was surprised to see explained to me how New Hampshire could have the largest penis size, though, because that would seem to be a super white state, right?
Yes.
And Oregon, number two.
Really?
Wow.
So what's up? Now, again, this isn't
serial
people
killers
trying to impress their friends or something like that about, I'm going to go out and give me some Magnums. I mean, these are people who are going to the time and effort and expense of getting the custom fit. I mean, of 76 available sizes, you'd think, if you're going to go to that effort, you're going to get the one that accurately reflects what you fill, right?
Yeah.
So there's, I would trust this data, is what I'm saying.
Interesting.
Because they're not making it up. Smallest states in the union, Wyoming comes in 50th, which can't make
Wyoming.
Dick Cheney happy. I know, right? Utah, after that. Mm-hmm. We're talking very, very white states, though. I mean, that is one thing you can say about the states at the bottom, Wyoming and then Utah. Iowa, sorry, kids, listening to the Kevin Bean Show. Iowa, 48th. Alaska, 47th. West Virginia, 46th. Kentucky, 45th. Yeah. So those are your five. So that's,
well, Alaska at least makes sense. It's cold all the time.
Yeah, I don't think they measure, the guys measured themselves outside, Lisa.
No,
it's cold everywhere,
but maximum,
all the time.
Maximum bone point is lower when it's 17 below.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's good news. If you find yourself single, ladies, and you're looking to move, you know, you got your choice. Why not head to New Hampshire or Oregon? Maybe those are the states you ought to think about living in. So there you go. That's a tip for you today.
Why
do
ladies want to move there?
That's where all the big penises are.
Oh,
that's where the big penises are. Follow the story, May.
I got confused. Because then I was thinking, but those are white. But that was the whole thing.
But, goodness me. Goodness me.
Attention. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's do it. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
Hannah is on line 7 to get us started here today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Hannah. Thanks for holding on. What can we do for you?
Hi. I was already awake listening to the radio station, so I thought I'd call in.
Okay, well, good. What'd it do?
Well, calling to say what was on your mind and what you want to talk about.
Can you speak up and perk up a little bit for us, Hannah? Okay.
Is this better?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Go ahead. What's up?
I can say, I asked her, what do you do to get your girlfriend back if you messed up and she wants space?
What do you do to get your girlfriend back if you messed up? Is this a situation you're in?
Not really me, but a homie, but I'm really close to you.
Okay, catch that last part.
I think she said, not really me, but a homie.
Mm-hmm. I'm really close to.
Yeah.
Yep.
Homie, really. Okay. What did he do? Why is he in the hot water with his girlfriend?
I don't know exactly. I think it's because he was assuming things and...
Good phone, by the way. Excellent telephone. Is anyone making this out?
No.
First singing things, and then she didn't like that.
All right. We're going to go ahead.
It looks so good on paper.
It sure did. You hang on. We're going to hook you up with a Kevin and Bean t-shirt. Lisa, in general, if a guy is in hot water, or girl, I guess, is in hot water with the girlfriend, what's the surest way to win her back?
Well, I think a groveling apology is a good start, and some jewelry.
Apology and jewelry.
And then take her out for a buffet.
A buffet?
All right, Hannah, I hope that helps your friend. Let's try Josh, line 3. Maybe it was Hannah. She didn't want to say she was calling for herself, but her boyfriend hates talking to her on the phone. Maybe that's all that's going on there. That's why he's all mad at her. Josh, what can we do for you?
Hey, morning, guys.
Hi, Josh. What'd it do?
You know what? I just woke up, and I heard the news that California's number 12.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to say, all the Asians bringing down the average.
Oh, you know what? Maybe. Could be. Could be the Asians.
Yeah, but, I mean, 12 really ain't that bad, Josh, if you think about it. I mean, out 12 of out of 50, we're in the, you know, upper percentile, really.
But I think Josh is saying California would have a strong, you know, number 2, number 3, number 4
yeah,
showing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying, you know. Well, we should be top, because we're definitely in our top 10 in schools, so we should be definitely top 10 in penis size.
But, Josh, look at it this way. We got to thank the Asians for bringing down the average, but we got a lot of brothers here in California. You know
that's
what I'm
true.
Saying? So it evens out.
That's true. Because say like Wyoming, they don't have the Asians bringing it down. They also don't have the brothers bringing it up. So, I mean, they're just kind of on their own.
True.
So, yeah, don't feel bad, dude. It's all right. All right, let's try Lauren, line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Lauren. Thanks for calling in. What'd it do?
Morning. I was watching TV last night, and a LendingTree.com commercial came on, and mm-hmm. Adam West was on it.
Yes.
Doing a LendingTree.com. He was on for like 5 seconds. What is Adam West doing a LendingTree.com commercial for?
Making money, honey.
Yeah, brother's got to pay a mortgage, first of all. Second of all, Adam West is the hottest brand in entertainment right now. He's on tons of stuff, and I'm always happy to see him. I think it's awesome that he is not one of those, you know, forgotten TV stars of the 60s who's sitting around in a one-room shack waiting to die. I mean, he's out there with a career. God bless him.
Yeah, he's managed to stay current.
I kind of wanted to go on LendingTree after I saw that, even though he's going out for 5 seconds.
As well you should. Look, if Batman tells you to do something, you do it. That's just the way it works here in the United States of America. I'm very, very happy to see that with Mr. West. Thank you for the call, Mike. Lauren, thank you. And one more. Let's try Mike. He's on line 1 to round it out, and then we'll tell you about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mike. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do?
So, I have a question. What would you guys do right now if the zombie apocalypse hit? Right now.
Well, we have food stored. In this building.
I think nice. As with every invasion, it's, you know, fight or flight is going to be your first thought. I mean, I'm not prepared to be the guy on the front line to beat back the zombie invasion. I would be looking for a way to get the hell out of the building and a way to hide.
I honestly somehow by chance have like a foot long knife / machete type thing in my car right
do
now.
You?
And
that's horrible.
And bolt cutters. And like a toolkit that's got some screwdrivers
Can
and stuff
I go
in
with
it.
You, dude?
So I mean, I guess I'm somewhat prepared. I mean, I don't have fire. We don't have firearms.
So screwed.
Yeah, we are.
What, Why? What do you recommend, Mike? What kind of escape plan do you have when the zombies hit?
Oh, my God. I've had to talk so many times with people. It's not even funny. Well, I'm on my way to Pendleton right now, so I think I'm pretty good.
Are you a Marine?
I am.
Okay, well, yeah, you're a little bit ahead of the game compared to us. Yeah.
Should I buy a flamethrower and carry it with me everywhere, or what do you advise for me, just a weak civilian?
Flaming zombies running after you.
All right, good. So next day on the aim floor three is what you're saying, right?
Flamethrower and knives. That's what I would recommend.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I got one. Well, I mean, like, aren't I better off than Bean and Lisa and Ralph and everybody? I do have a good size knife in my car. All right.
Mike's done with you.
Mike is done with us, unless the zombies got him. It's good every once in a while to have a warning, you know, to have somebody remind you. It's just like earthquake preparedness, that the zombie invasion could hit at any time. And you're right. It is the type of thing you shouldn't think about when it happens. You should think about it ahead of time. So thank you very much, Mike, for the call, and thanks for your service as well. All right, today's Kevin and Bean Show. Joe Rogan yesterday got me all excited about the sensory deprivation tanks. We heard hit. I mean, he makes it sound like it has changed his life. It has changed the way he thinks of it, about everything. So we're going to talk about that a little bit coming up next hour, and I want to hear from you, the Kevin and Bean listeners, who have tried it. Is he just on crack, or is there really something to it? Is it something Lisa and I need to look into it? Because I think we're both intrigued enough to seriously consider hopping into one.
Yeah, I've looked up where to go and what it cost and everything.
I have serious concerns about both of you doing it, and I'll tell you why later. Totally separate reasons why.
Okay.
Hard to believe the KISS product empire has expanded. We'll talk to our friend Gene Simmons and find out what's new there. Former sports guy of the Kevin and Bean Show, now nationally syndicated sports radio host, Matt Money Smith is going to be joining us today with a preview of the Sweet 16 NCAA college basketball tournament. Starts tonight.
That's right. So cute.
Craig Robinson from Hot Tub Time Machine on
Craig
the program
Wilson.
Today. The Wheelo Bad Animal Voices and new rules in the NFL. A lot of people have been for a long time saying that they hate the overtime rules in football, and it has finally changed. We've got an expert on that to talk about it later on today, too. All of that plus more that we can't tell you about, and Ralph's Showbiz Beat for the first time ever for a new day coming up next right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Offspring, Nirvana, Paramore, and Yes, because you demanded it, Island Femmes, all coming up on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KRQ.
Like a blister in the sun.
That is what's coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are correct.
It's so good.
It is 5:53. Ralph Garman joins us in studio for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day. Ralph, what you talking about?
You know, I don't do nearly enough is give away special ticket doodads to our early listeners.
That's true.
I intend to do it later in the show, and I regret that, and I apologize to you early morning listeners, because you are special, too. You are important in our hearts as well.
And deserving
of special ticket doodads. So here you go.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Damn it.
I've got tickets to give away to the red carpet world premiere of Clash of the Titans.
Ooh. Release the Kraken!
Of course, this is the story of Perseus and the Greek gods. And Perseus said, and he must take on the Medusa and the Hydra and the Cerberus.
Got me.
Hades, Poseidon, it's good stuff.
Is there an island of Lesbos?
I don't think in this one the island of Lesbos shows up, sadly.
It could be a great sequel, though.
But I know in the original Greek myth of Perseus, I think it was Cassiopeia, was chained naked to a rock by the seaside as a sacrifice to the creature Katos.
Well, that's promising.
I was a big Greek mythology geek when I was like in junior high school and stuff. I loved those stories. That was cool.
It's pretty sweet.
I thought the Greek gods kicked Roman gods' ass. By the way, give me Zeus over Jupiter every time. You know what I'm saying?
I've been saying that my whole life.
Yeah, my whole life I've been saying that. Zeus rocks. Jupiter, not so much.
In the original Clash of the Titans movie with Harry Hamlin,
yes, he played Perseus.
Was there a lot of nudity?
No, not so much. It was more of a family film. But it still is a fantasy sci-fi classic. In fact, thanks for bringing that up, Mike, because that is what my trivia question is about today.
All right.
Maybe my love for Clash of the Titans originated when I first saw that film when I was a young lad. But if you know that movie, this is going to be easy for you. The movie featured pretty much the last hurrah of one of the great special effect geniuses of motion pictures. One of the great sci-fi fantasy special effects geniuses. His work was featured in the original Clash of the Titans, with Harry Hamlin and Laurence Olivier. If you know the name of this special effects legend, call now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five people through with the correct answer win a pair of tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Clash of the Titans at Grauman's Chinese Theater here in beautiful Hollywood, California. So that's going to be pretty cool because you get to see it at an old-timey classic theater. All right, let's talk about new movies, shall we? Another 3D movie in the works. According to Daily Variety newspaper, it's going to be a reboot of another fantasy sci-fi legendary series, Buck Rogers in the 25th century. Buck Rogers has been around, I didn't know this, since 1928 was the first Buck Rogers story.
So is Bean.
That's right. That's when Bean was first introduced as well.
I think I have the DVD of the movie serial version of that, which must have been, what, in the 40s or 50s, I guess.
With Buster Crab?
Yeah.
1939, being 1939 was that movie series.
Yeah,
of course, on TV, it was on in the late 70s, early 80s with Gil Gerard and Erin Gray as Wilma Deering.
Oh, yeah. I'm Buzz.
And there hasn't been a reworking of it for some time. Of course, the story of Buck Rogers is a fighter pilot who's just minding his own business, flying through the skies of these United States, protecting us from foreign foes. And zap, ends up in the 25th century. And then he's got to adapt and take on all the evil that has to handle. What? Anyway, it's going to be in 3D. It's going to be cool. So check it out, won't you? Sad news. Speaking of old TV shows and old actors and whatnot, Robert Culp, who starred in the legendary 60s TV series I Spy, was kind of like an American James Bond, teamed up with Bill Cosby in that series. That's what made Bill Cosby a star, was that TV series. He died at the age of 79 yesterday morning, walking outside his home in Hollywood, California. Apparently fell and hit his head, and that was it. So it's sad because I just bought the box set of all those episodes, that old TV show, a couple months ago. I've been watching them, and he was a cool dude back in the 60s. And, of course, he was a legendary fixture at the Playboy Mansion. He was good friend of Hef's, and spent the better part of the 70s just in the grotto.
Wow.
So he was a legend, and he will be missed. Speaking of actors who are going to be missed, Dennis Hopper may be making his final public appearance tomorrow when he receives his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh, that's nice that he's still alive for that, though.
Yeah. He's going to show up and accept. He has been battling aggressive prostate cancer and reportedly weighs just 100 pounds.
Oh, God.
So, I don't know what we're going to see when he shows up, but apparently he's going to be there to accept the honor and, I guess, to say goodbye to friends and fans. So,
what a great actor, too, by the way.
Dennis Hopper, classic, legend.
Classic.
Another guy's been around since the 50s, has been working.
Yep.
Just a guy's had a long, long career. Let's take a look at the answer, see if I have a winner to my trivia question. Huh? You want to talk to Matt on line four? Matt?
Hi, how's it going?
Good morning. Who was the special effects legend whose work was featured in the original Clash of the Titans movie?
Ray Harryhausen.
Ray Harryhausen, of course. Did all the great stop-motion animation for Jason and the Argonauts and all those movies. Hold on, we're getting you all the details, but you're going to see the brand new Clash of the Titans at the red carpet world premiere.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Jesse James is becoming a lot more like Tiger Woods than he probably would like.
Uh-oh.
Apparently now other women are coming out of the woodwork talking about their long-time affairs with Jesse, while Sandra Bullock was his wife. Melissa Smith is the name of just one. She tells Star Magazine that she had a 2-year affair with the star of Monster Garage just after he contacted her on MySpace in 2006. This was just a year after he had already married Sandra Bullock.
Oh, man.
So, apparently there are other women now who are claiming to have had an affair with Jesse.
So, does this mean Jesse will or will not be playing the Masters this year?
Oh, Gilligan. Things aren't all bad for Jesse, though. Playgirl magazine has offered him $500,000 if he will pose with his reported oversized private parts in their pages. Apparently, Jesse's rocking some equipment. That's the word on the street.
I could see that.
Yeah.
He's a big dude. Yeah. Although big dudes don't always
That's true.
Carry big weapons.
No, That's you true. Never know.
Yeah.
A lot of us do.
Stop it.
But
apparently, he is freakishly large.
Oh, okay.
And a spokesperson for Playgirl magazine tells Life and Style Weekly magazine, "We want to pose him in a Coney Island freak show setting. It would be a whole circus-themed shoot complete with tattooed women and sword swallowers.
Sword swallowers? Hello there.
See how it all ties in? Holy mackerel. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Aretha Franklin is 6,800 pounds. And 68 years old today. Musician Elton John is 63. Actress Marcia Cross from Desperate Housewives is 48 years old.
Belle, no Belle.
Belle. Belle.
Okay. All right. Just want to ask.
Sarah Jessica Parker celebrates her 45th birthday today.
No.
We need like a secretariat sound for some of these, some of these actresses.
Got it.
Lark Voorhees.
Yeah.
Lisa Turtle. Oh,
that's what I'm talking about.
From Saved by the Bell is 36 years old today.
I'd like to remind everybody that I'm still reigning champion of Saved by the Bell trivia.
That's
and
true.
Someone came into this house, my house, and tried to challenge me. And
she
thought
she would slap you down.
That's
you
right.
crushed her. You crushed her. Lee Pace, star of Pushing Daisies. I missed that show. He's 31 years old today. Sean Ferris, actor from Never Back Down and other projects, is 29. Danica Patrick, race car driver, is 28 years old today. Well, most tepid of bells.
Yeah. Hot for a race car driver.
But I mean, yeah, hot
she's
for like
attractive
if, like
enough.
If she walked in this room, you'd be like, yeah, she's a pretty chick, but not a don't smash that bell.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But smash the bell for this one, Catherine McPhee.
Yeah.
I still got the McPhee-ver after all these years. She is 26 years old today, and good news is she's going back to her brunette hair. That's the good news.
I didn't hate the blonde as much as everybody else.
I didn't hate it, but I didn't prefer it.
All right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
All right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey! 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is 621. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Craig Robinson from the Hot Tub Time Machine and, of course, Daryl on The Office joins us later on today on the program. Yesterday, our friend Joe Rogan stopped by, and Joe is one of our all-time favorite guests. We love every time he comes in the studio, even though he always makes it sound as if the world is going to end in the next week when he stops by.
Yeah.
Yes.
But there was one thing he was very happy about yesterday, which was his new isolation tank. He swears by these sensory deprivation tanks and all of the benefits that they give you. Listen to just a tidbit of what he told us yesterday about why it's so great.
It's a tank that allows you to have psychedelic experiences without any drugs. And you climb into this tank, and the tank's filled with water, and the water's heated up to the same temperature as your skin, and there's 800 pounds of salt in the water, so you're really buoyant. You float. It's, like, really incredible. You just lie down, and you feel like you're weightless. It's total darkness. You close the lid on this thing. You don't see anything. You don't hear anything because your ears are underwater. You don't feel anything because the water, being the same temperature as your skin, once you, like, relax with the fact that you're lying in water, you don't feel anymore. You literally feel nothing. So you have no sensory input. And in the absence of sensory input, your brain becomes supercharged.
I want to go to there.
Nope.
Why? You are
not allowed.
I want to be like supercharged.
Fun. And you are not allowed, and you are not allowed.
Why?
Yeah. Because here's the thing. Joe Rogan is a consciousness adventurer.
Yes.
He's the kind of guy who likes to explore the nooks and crannies of his demon-filled subconscious. He has dropped acid, he's done mushrooms, he's done mescaline, he's licked toads. He has done everything you can do in order to put yourself in an altered state in order to experience what that is like. Bean keeps his brain under such tight wrapping. He is afraid of whatever creepy crawlies are living up in that attic. He doesn't drink. He's never gotten high.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to open those doors at all. Nor do we, by the way. We don't want Bean to open those doors either.
Because
you don't know what's going to come out of there. And I just think that is a room best left locked. That's all I'm saying.
But I do want to, I love the idea of sensory deprivation in that you, like he said yesterday, you eliminate the external stimuli that we're all subjected to, whether it's just the things that are in the room that catch your eye, or whether it's the light, or whether it's whatever it is you've got to do next, and just being able to kind of let go and see where your brain goes when it doesn't have to concentrate on all the other things that happen when you just live.
Telling you, you don't want that.
That's
not for you.
That's
because you exist on external stimuli. That's all. That's your fuel. That's all that you live for.
No.
All
See, you don't
live
know,
for
man.
Is internet and television and I wonder how, what the how Kiss number one single was, 1973. You're all minutiae and little facts and shiny objects, and that's where you live. That's your wheelhouse.
But wouldn't it be really interesting to see what happens without all of that?
Yeah, step away from that and go a little deeper inside yourself.
And
why
by
not?
Interesting, do you mean tragic and destructive? Yes.
You know, Bean went on vacation last week and actually didn't go online and didn't watch TV and relaxed
and
for
was
like
miserable.
No, he wasn't. He was kind of shocked at how relaxing it was. So maybe this is his next step.
My take is that Bean, I'm concerned that he'll become addicted to the idea of it because everything is a disturbance to Bean. Everything that affects his senses in any way bothers him. That's why he moved away to a remote island, away from Los Angeles, away from stimuli.
It's not stimuli. It's other people, Mike. He hates other people. But he feeds off of stimuli constantly. He's constantly online. He's constantly watching television. He's constantly listening to the radio. He's constantly bombarding himself with stimuli of his own choosing. He doesn't like to be bombarded with other people. No.
But the idea of isolation is so important to be.
But not without stuff in it. Isolation for him is him being on his own with his stuff. If he was on his own without his stuff, his mind would literally explode.
That's true. If he went to a real Ted Kaczynski Ozarks shack where there was no satellite dish.
No Twitter?
Yeah.
There's no Twitter. Imagine
That's
him
true.
With no Twitter for an hour. He'll be weeping in a fetal position within 15 minutes without tweets.
Now, Ralph brought up a good point. Joe Rogan loves to explore not only his consciousness, but he's also a daring guy in life. He's fought professional fighters. He's you know, surfed big waves. He's moved out to the middle of nowhere so that he could hike with mountain lions and things. Lisa could not be more opposite.
That's true.
Like, should I go with caffeinated coffee? It's a little late in the morning. I might not fall asleep till 4 p.m. today.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I should lift this weight. I mean, the bar itself seems a little bit intimidating. I don't.
It's 69 degrees in here. I need a Snuggie.
Yeah. But this is just getting
She lives in her comfort zone pretty comfortably.
This is easy, though. This is just getting into a tank with water.
You know
it's
what else
not.
Is easy? Eating a pot brownie and going and having some fun.
No.
Getting stoned and having a good time.
You know
that's
why that's
easy
different?
Too.
Because you can't make it stop once it starts. This, you can just open it up.
But then why do something if you know odds are you're going to want to stop it immediately?
I don't know that, but I know that I can. And maybe that is the difference for me.
I just remember when you had a little pot, you were screaming in the hallways.
Guys,
help me! And you're rolling around out in the parking lot. You did not have a good trip.
You know, Joe backed me up on that, by the way.
This is like doing acid. This isn't even pot.
But you can make it stop anytime.
If you survive it.
But this is not the experiment for you, I'm saying.
I'm going to prove you wrong.
Flipped out on pot, what would happen if you took a psychedelic trip?
I just get out. That's it. It's so.
Here's the deal.
I mean,
here's the deal. None of us have tried it. Joe Rogan makes it sound like an essential part of his being. And
his
if
being,
you go to,
yes.
Well, I have tried something similar.
If you go to the website, you see
like doing all drugs at once.
A whole list of things that it's supposed to do, overcoming physical exhaustion, relieving stress and anxiety, and increasing your mental, physical, and emotional resiliency. It just goes on and on and on. I want to talk to some Kevin and Bean listeners who have tried the isolation tank, who have gotten in the salt water, closed the lid, and lived to tell about it. I want to find out if it's all that, if it did anything for you, if any of these bad side effects that Ralph and Mike are suggesting for Lisa and me, if any of those things happen, or if it was great. Because
I think
seriously,
for normal people, it would be great. For someone with your hardwiring wrong, it would be bad.
See, I tried something similar where it was this place up in Santa Cruz where they hang you upside down and they measure your temperature and they put the room around you at the same temperature and then they hang you upside down. You put on a helmet where that takes away your hearing and then you put on like these glasses inside the helmet that you can only visualize extreme light.
They so stick something
like,
in your butt?
It's so bright that it essentially becomes black. And that was awesome. It kind of was the same thing. It was supposed
That'd
to...
That'd be so uncomfortable, though. You're upside down with all the blood rushing
through
your head.
Yeah, I'd rather float in water than be hanging upside down.
It's similar. It's a little different, but it's similar. They deprive you of all your senses. And it was awesome. It was mind-expanding. But I think the sensory deprivation tank is like that, but even more so.
Actor William Hurt did this once, and he actually turned into a monster and started eating people.
That is
I
true.
Saw that documentary.
That is true.
Called All the States.
I forgot about
it
that.
Happened. 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number to get into the Kevin Amin Show. 1-800-520-1067. Have you tried the isolation tank? Should I try it?
No.
Should Lisa try it?
No.
What will happen if we do?
Bad things.
Give us a call. We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm on a website called floatzone.com. They've got these isolation tanks. At the Flotation Tank Center, you'll reprieve from the world. Floating offers you a simple and effective respite from your busy life that renews your energy in 1 hour and helps you live your life to its full potential. See, that's what I need. Nobody's lazier than I am. I need a kickstart here, you guys.
Yeah, that'll do it. No, if you float in salt water, you will start living up to your full potential. You're right.
I think it might just be a great hour's sleep, which I never seem to get at home.
Well, let's find out. Let's talk to Heather. She's on line two.
Rough lives. I didn't know you need a respite from life so much.
I do.
We're taking your calls. If you've tried the isolation tank, the sensory deprivation, if you've done it, is it worth it? Should I try it? 1-800-520-1067. Our friend Joe Rogan swears by it. Heather, what say you?
I think that it's really a good idea. Like, I think that the advertising that they have is exactly what it is. It puts you into a sleep, and you guys are making, like, this big deal about it. Like, it's on par with, like, smoking pot or acid. And if someone like Lisa May or
Bean
or whatever, like, is way overloaded with sensory, this is a good thing. Like, it'll put you asleep for a little bit. But like Lisa said, you could just wake up. You could just open it up.
So I won't freak out?
Not at all. It's like, there's no sensory overload. So you kind of go into this little sleep. Because of the fact that there's nothing waking you up, there's no lights or anything like that, so you just kind of fall asleep.
Boring!
Yeah, I don't really want to go to sleep. What I want to do is what Joe was talking about yesterday, which is once you're deprived of all the sensory overload in your regular life, I want my mind to start looking for other things to do that might be things that I wouldn't ordinarily get to as a waking conscious person.
Well, in that sense, it is that way. I would say it's on par with, like, meditating.
Joe also said,
if you have a hard time meditating, this might help you.
Yeah. He said the first time you're not going to get a lot out of it, that you have to do it several times so that you can be comfortable with it.
So we told you about pot, too, Lisa. You didn't take another brownie.
I might have tried that at home once, not too long ago.
All right, Heather.
That
explained it that day she came in and she was out of her mind.
Neil Armstrong, Austin.
Buzz Armstrong.
And she couldn't speak English. Heather, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. Let's try Dave. He has also tried the isolation tank. Let's see what his experience was. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Dave.
Hey, if you want a relaxing sensation, go sit in the spa. This thing's a hoax. I got a few different problems. About a year ago, I was on a business trip out there in Tokyo, and I found it. For one, spent $250 American money on this thing. But here's the thing. They put so much salt in there, and then they give you a little scuba, a little breathing deal, so you're actually physically underneath the water the whole time. The amount of salt water that's in there, the amount of heat that's in that water as well, it's the worst uncomfortable. It feels like you're in a pool of sweat. At the same time, too, the amount of salt that's in there, it kind of attacks the boys down below and takes away all the oil and starts to burn real bad.
Really?
This whole thing is the most uncomfortable.
No, time out. You just had a bad sesh then because Joe made it sound as if they really try to match it to the temperature of your body so that way you don't feel the water.
Yeah, but think about it, though. You're 89, 90 degrees. That thing's hot. I think it's sloth.
You say with that much salt in it, it could irritate your skin. That's true.
I suppose.
At the same time, this guy's a kook. You and I be
that's true.
Joe Rogan is a kook. Right?
Why are we listening to anything that he says, right? All right, thank you very much for the call.
I'm not sure if we landed on the moon or not. That is true.
Let's try Andrew one more on line one. And I guess the reason, Ralph, for all the salt is that's what makes you float.
I understand that. But I'm saying with that much salt in the water, it could be irritating to your skin.
Yeah.
So all right, Andrew. Swim in the ocean with his salty water, you feel, your skin gets irritated.
What you got, dude? What's going on?
Hello.
No, no.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi,
yeah,
Andrew.
My friend's got one in his garage, and he talked me into doing it. It took about 3 weeks to a month. I would go, 30 minutes and then an hour. It gets to where you kind of wonder, man, what am I going to do in there? So when you start thinking, what am I going to think about in this chamber? You can sit there, and if you have a song in your head or, if there's anything going on in your life that you need to meditate about, it's almost like you're dreaming, but you're awake. It's kind of like when you're asleep at night and you can tell you're dreaming, but you can't wake up.
Yeah, that's sort of weird. Like, Twilight
floaty
kind of sleep. Yeah.
Anything you think or anything you smell, you can smell it, you can taste it.
Did you like it, Andrew? Was it a good experience for you?
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was going through a hard time in life, so when it really started to kick in, I didn't really have too much good to think about. It became like a bad experience, and then my friend thought it was a good idea. You know, towards the last 20 minutes of my last session, he runs up and he bangs on the side of it with a mag light and scares the crap out of me.
Oh, man.
I like your friend.
Almost give you a heart attack.
Oh, all right. Thank you for the call. Lisa, are you
an iron lung, not a defamation tank.
Are you,
I don't know anymore. I
are
don't
you
know.
In? What do you
now
think?
I feel kind of woozy about the whole
Nobody
thing.
Nobody saw Jesus. No one talked to pink bunnies. No one got on a yellow submarine.
No brain power, yeah. though.
This is all BS.
I think a lot of it has to do.
Have a shot of Jack Daniels and lay down and take a nap.
I think a lot of it has to do. It's just like acid in that you get out of it what you go into it thinking. You know, I mean, if you go into taking a bunch of acid, being paranoid and not knowing what's going to happen and not really sure if you want to do it, it's going to be a miserable mess. If you go into taking acid as you're just charged up to do it.
I can see colors and hear the words of music, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be awesome. Yeah.
But you always hear about, and I don't know if this is medically true or not, but people say you only use such a small percentage of your brain. I think if you could eliminate so many other distractions in your life, you might get the opportunity to use other parts of your brain, and I think that might be refreshing. You That's why I'm excited to try
You it. Use too much goddamn parts of your brain. Just stop it. Just pipe down, quite frankly.
Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph's got the showbiz beat when we return right after this. Go to krock.com to find out about Paramore or Less. Your chance to qualify is still coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Grand prize drawing will be tomorrow. It's 106.7, KROQ, 652. Ralph Garman is here. Matt Money Smith joins us next hour for a preview of the Sweet 16 NCAA Men's College Basketball Tournament. Back in action again tonight. Ralph's got all the Hollywood news. What's going on?
I'll tell you, these twitards, God love them. Wish I could tap into some of that. Just a little bit.
Some of that passion?
Yeah. Because New Moon, the DVD that just came out this past weekend, sold over 4 million copies in its first weekend of release.
So you'd like to tap into that money.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
I got to start writing lame-ass books about vampires.
Do it.
I really do. Anybody could write that crap and get this kind of coin in return?
Yep. Pretty
Come
sweet.
On.
And by the way, that's saying something when a fan wants to own it. It's one thing to go to the movies. Yeah, I got 2 hours on a Saturday to kill. It's another thing to say, I'm going to invest in this so that I can have my own copy at home. These people love this franchise.
Now, the first Twilight only sold 3.8 million DVDs in that same time frame. So this is already doing better than the first one. And the first one went on to be the best-selling DVD title of 2009. Sold almost 10 million units. So this one is on pace to do even better than that. So, that's a lot of money.
I'll love you as long as your heart still beats.
Why are you telling me I can't be a vampire? Because I have learned as a vampire, and I know how the repercussions of that choice can be. But I can't. But I love you. I'm a wolf. But I have to be with him because I
screw them.
It's magic.
Oh, God damn them! This is an interesting story. It came in the LA Times yesterday, and I've often thought about this. But they did a great story on big-time movie stars who are movie stars for no real reason, in the sense that they make nothing but flops.
They're not good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there are a lot of those.
These are good actors who just don't make hits, ever. Just are not. You can't put them in a movie and expect to get a big box office weekend because they're in it. They are
One comes to mind.
They're not movie stars in the sense that people rush out to the theaters to go see their films. And yet they get hired over and over and over again and paid lots and lots of money for each film that they make. I thought it was very interesting. For example, I think it all started with Jude Law. Mm-hmm. Because they were talking about Repo Man, which opened this past weekend, to reasonably good reviews, but no box office whatsoever.
Yeah.
Dreadful debut in its opening numbers.
And he's been in, the last 20 movies he's been in have done no business, right?
That's what they're saying. All the King's Men, Sleuth, Breaking and Entering, Closer, My Blueberry Nights. The only movie that he was in that made any money was Sherlock Holmes, but Robert Downey Jr., they think, was largely the draw for that film. He was sort of an afterthought. So they had an interesting list of other actors who are good and people seem to like, and Hollywood keeps employing them, but there's no return on their investment. Which I think is fascinating. Michael Cera is an example. A guy keeps working, but his movies don't make any money. Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, she's
that's
a great
one.
Example.
That's the one who makes huge dollars. Oscar winner. movie after movie, like Australia, is just a flop.
Flop. Nine, flop. Golden Compass, flop. Fur, The Invasion, Margaret the Wedding, Births, flop, flop, yep, flop, yep, flop, yep. flop.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis. They say take him out of the Die Hard role, and you're not making any money on him.
Hmm.
Surrogates.
That's interesting.
Perfect Stranger. Coppa did pretty well, but a lot of that was Tracy Morgan attraction.
And Pulp Fiction was great, but that wasn't because of Bruce Willis. He was just part of a much larger ensemble.
Cast. He seems like, unlike the other two that you mentioned, he seems like a guy that'll work for the paycheck, though. You know, like Michael Cera and Nicole Kidman seem like they're at least trying to choose interesting roles, so that might bite them in the ass at the box office. I think Bruce Willis will just take any paycheck. Yeah.
Sean Penn, flops.
Yeah.
Kate Winslet, flops. Wow. George Clooney, flops.
Hmm.
Clooney
up in the air, a big hit though, right?
$83 million domestically.
Yeah.
$83 million. That's an opening weekend for a Twilight movie. You know what I mean?
You're right.
So, but look at his other films: Leatherheads, The Good German, Fantastic Mr. Fox, Men Who Stare at Goats. Yeah. Can't open a film.
I was thinking of Gerard Butler. Gerard Butler's in mostly crappy movies that don't seem to. I mean,
maybe
he
hasn't been in that many
movies. Maybe a little early to judge his body of work because he's done a handful, but.
But you're so right. A guy like George Clooney, I mean, if you ask a lot of people, he's the biggest movie star in the world, right, George Clooney?
Right.
Yeah.
Yet outside of, say, the ensembles, again, going back to that, what we were talking about, like Ocean's 12, you know, those Ocean's movies, outside of those, not a lot of big hits, that's for sure.
No. Although some of his, I wouldn't want to live in a world without Michael Collins and Good Night and Good Luck and Syriana.
Absolutely.
I mean, he makes great films that don't tend to make a lot of money. But
we're not talking about quality here at all. Right?
At least he's not Cameron Diaz.
Right. He's been open about the fact that he'll do the Oceans. He'll pepper his career with the Oceans movies to pay for his ability to do Michael Clayton and other movies that really mean something to him. You know,
But Cameron Diaz, I could do without, you know, The Box and My Sister's Keeper and What Happens in Vegas and The Holiday and In Her Shoes.
She does a lot of bad
movies. She did a lot of flops.
Not sure she's actually a good actress
and
either.
Keeps making $15 million a movie.
That's astonishing.
It was an interesting article. You may want to check it out at latimes.com. Is that for Cameron Diaz?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you care or not. I certainly don't. But last night on American Idol, the Paige Miles was voted off. Paige Miles is her name.
And she is, and I know her from...
24-year-old African-American preschool teacher from Houston. Dude, if they keep voting off the black people, they're going to start pissing people off. I'm telling you,
there's
going to be a protest. You're going to hear from them. And on Survivor, Tyson and James were both booted off. I'm watching Survivor again this year. I'm digging it.
Really?
Yeah, I'm digging it.
I bet they're better singers and more entertaining than the kids on American Idol.
They are. And good news, Mike Myers has announced he's planning a fourth Austin Powers movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, those really work for him.
He desperately needs a hit.
Yeah.
Fourth Austin Powers movie. Do we need that?
They're funny movies.
I've enjoyed them.
Stupid assholes.
I've enjoyed them. I just think maybe their time has come and gone.
Yeah.
Apparently, though, in this one, Austin travels back in time to try to prevent Mike Myers from making the Love Guru. So, there may be an upside. We'll have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays. Aretha Franklin turned 68 years old today. Elton John, 63. Marcia Cross turns 48 years old. Sarah Jessica Parker is 45 years old. Celebrating with a brisk workout, some oats, and then they're going to just wipe her down before they put her back.
Oh.
Lark Voorhees.
Yeah!
Best known, I suppose, as Lisa Turtle in Saved by the Bell. She's 36 years old. Lee Pace, who was the star of Pushing Daisies, very entertaining actor in a very entertaining series, which sadly is no longer. Catherine McPhee turns 26 years old. Sean Ferris is 29. And Danica Patrick celebrates her 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q 707. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Everybody knows, everybody has heard of the band Kiss. If nothing else, you certainly know this song. I wanna rock and roll all night and party every day. Yeah, they wrote that in about 10 minutes. It's lasted them 35 years. But they've had a long, 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 very successful career. Personally, I can't believe they're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet. But they have been merchandising wizards. It's unbelievable the thousands of products that there are for Kiss. And there's a Kiss coffee shop in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we've talked about before. Now they're getting ready to open one up in Australia. So I guess this has been successful for the band. And we're going to talk to Gene Simmons, the leader of Kiss, who joins us on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
What the?
Gene, are you there, buddy?
Good morning. How are you?
What's going on, Gene? What's all that racket? Where are you?
Unfortunately, I'm in an emergency room. In an emergency room here in Australia.
What happened? Are you okay?
Those of you who watched the debut episode this season of Family Jewels saw that my happily unpartnered partner, Shannon, had some health problems. And we were traveling here to Australia, and unfortunately, she just fainted.
Oh,
so we're here
in the
emergency room, and they're hoping it's just dehydration from the traveling and the busy schedule. So right now, they're just pumping her full of vital fluids. Lisa.
Come on. That was an enormously complicated setup just to get to that, Gene. Come on.
What are you laughing at?
Is there any way you can turn off the machine and we could just have a regular conversation?
Without her dying. She doesn't die if you turn it off, right?
Yeah. Let me walk out in the hallway.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that'd be better. That'd be great. Well, Gene, you scared me there for a second. I thought there was a real health concern. But the reason we're calling is because...
No, you know what? You know what? I don't like you discrediting her real health concerns. And it hurts my
feelings.
You're
making it up.
You know what? I thought we were friends.
Well, we are. That's why
she needed to be given fluids immediately. That's all.
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad she's better.
I'm glad she's okay. Right. The reason we wanted to talk to you is to find out about the new expansion of your coffee empire down under. You are in Australia now with a Kiss themed coffee shop. Now, I don't get the tie-in between Kiss and coffee. What's that all about?
As you know, we've talked many times before. A lot of times there doesn't necessarily need to be a tie-in. We're just looking for a way to spread the name of KISS and merchandise the brand as best we can. And coffee is quite popular here down under, as it is in most parts of the world. So we're looking to open up a coffee shop and again, just get more imaging for the KISS name and the band out there around the world.
It's always impressive to me how many different areas you're in. What else do you have going on right now?
Oh, Lisa May, speaking of coffee, do you take cream?
No, actually, I've stopped using
that's
cream.
Too bad. I wish I could change your mind about that. Well, you asked what else we have going on. We have the Kiss Sushi Bar here in Australia that we're also going to be opening later this summer.
Okay.
Lisa May, you have some spicy tuna I'd like to try out.
Okay. Look, can we just keep this to what's going on with KISS and maybe leave Lisa out of it, Gene?
Oh, sure. We were talking about the sushi bar. Speaking of seafood, we have the KISS Seafood Buffet that we're going to be opening, a chain of them around the Orient that we're going to be opening up later. What are you guffawing at?
Nothing. That sounds delicious.
It does. It is delicious. Speaking of delicious seafood, Lisa, I think you've got a delicious clam I'd like to try out.
All right. Look, again, Gene, this isn't about you hitting on women. We're here to talk business today.
All right. Let's... You know what? Let's get aside from this. Earlier, with my family, we went to Bondi Beach in Australia. Mm. And
is that a nice beach?
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And unfortunately, there was an accident with a young child who almost drowned.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And a business idea hit me right there. We should make the KISS floaties. Almost all families... who teach their children how to swim have to give them these floaties and these safety devices.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
It'd be a great way if we were to put, you know, maybe different character faces on those floaties or the KISS name on something. And I was thinking about that. And Lisa May, speaking of drowning, I'd like to drown you in some fluids.
That doesn't even make any sense.
It sure does. I got a waterfall of fluids right there.
All right.
You know what I'm
I've
saying?
Had
you
enough.
Understand
that's
what I'm
right
saying? You understand what I'm saying? Giggity.
I'm sorry. We're breaking up. We can't hear you anymore. We got to go. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Matt Money Smith, nationally syndicated sports radio personality, joins us in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. If it's not too late, maybe he can help you with your Sweet 16 brackets. We'll be talking to him about that. Money ran the marathon over the weekend.
He
too,
did,
right?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
We'll find out about it.
Hey, guys,
that.
I've got trouble. I don't know if this has happened to y'all, but I thought we were done with I thought the do not call lists that were so popular a couple of years ago, I thought they did the trick. I thought you signed up for that and then you could not get the solicitations at home anymore.
They helped.
They did help, right. Well, has this happened to anyone else but me? Every single day, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, every single day I get a call on my cell phone from a blocked number that I pick up, and it's somebody trying to get me to switch credit cards. Somebody who's saying, hey, you're maybe paying too much for your credit card. This is a limited time offer. Press 1 to hear details on how you can get a credit card for 3% interest or whatever. And I always press 1 because I want to talk to the person and cuss them out. I always press 1 so that I can say, look, stop calling me. take me off your list.
Right.
How is it that they're able to do that with the do not calls? I mean, I'm on every do not call list I've ever seen a record of, yet for some reason these people are still calling and soliciting these credit card offers. How are they able to do that?
I don't know, because I'm getting those calls too, not on my cell phone, on my home phone. They're robocalls.
Yeah.
And they are happening almost every day.
It's driving
either mortgage or credit cards.
Driving Miss Cleo and Alex, too.
Yeah.
They've been talking about it for the last week or so.
I don't know why.
And I always pick up and I always say, take me off this list. Do not call me anymore.
Yet
the next day, they say, yes, they will. But then the next day, there's another one. And it makes me wonder if there's that many different companies or if. Oh, my God.
What is that?
The Hot Cheeto Kids are my ringtone. That's my cell phone.
Oh.
Hold on a sec.
Is it block number?
This might even be one of them now. Hello?
Hello. You're receiving a phone call from the AmeriCorps Financial Group with a limited time offer.
Here we go.
You may be paying too much for your credit card bills. If you'd like to consolidate all of your credit card bills into one easy-to-pay, low-interest loan, press 1 now.
Do that.
If you'd like to transfer your credit balance to a low-interest credit card, press 2 now. To end this call and have you take off our list, press 3 now.
Okay. That's the one we need. Okay, I hadn't heard that option before.
You accidentally pressed 3. You meant to press 1 or 2.
No, we want
to
get off the...
If you'd like to consolidate your credit card bills, press 1. If you'd like to transfer your credit balance to a lower interest credit card, press 2. If you'd like to end this call and take you off our call list, press 3.
All right, hit 3. Be careful, Mike. Hit 3.
Okay, seriously, it's 1 or 2. If you'd like to grant this limited time offer,
No.
Here's your next opportunity. Press 1 or 2 for a great limited time offer.
No, 3. End it. We want to stop you calling me.
All right, look.
Listen. If you're not interested in this offer, say yes, I'm interested.
What?
I'm not going to say yes, I'm interested if I'm not interested.
You're interested.
No,
just
I don't
said
want
idiot.
If you'd like to consolidate your credit card bills, press 1. If you'd like to transfer your credit balance to a lower interest credit card, press 2.
No.
Yes?
No, I'm not going to do either of those.
Was that yes?
No, it was no.
All right, listen. For $20, we'll take you off our list and won't call you again.
I will pay that at this point because, I mean, he calls every day. Yes. Sign me up for that. Yes.
Great. You've said you'll pay $50 to put us
on. No, I said $20.
Listen, since the bailouts, we need to make money any way we can. Give us all your money.
There it is.
All right.
Special request for a Kevin to be listener named Kevin in Tarzana, Modest Yahoo on 106.7 KROQ. It is 7:36.
Yeah.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show. Craig Robinson from The Office and the Hot Tub Time Machine joins us in about 20 minutes coming up on the show. Also, Rouse got the showbiz beat. First, though, how about nationally syndicated Fox Sports Radio personality Matt Money Smith joining us on the phone right now. Hey, Money, how are you, man?
Oh, I can't wait to see that Hot Tub Time Machine.
I know, it looks
good.
Great.
Looks funny.
I love Craig Robinson. He is unreal in The Office.
He's the best, yeah. Hey, Money, I mentioned briefly a few minutes ago, you ran the marathon last weekend. I did not hear. How did you do?
I did okay. It was my first marathon. I ran it in 4 hours and 37 minutes. And I wanted to break, my original goal was to break 4 hours, and then I hurt my foot. I didn't think I was going to be able to run it at all. But, you know, modern technology, drugs, allowed me to do that. And I wanted to break 4:30, but, you know, you hit that, like, 24th mile, and it's like, holy crap.
You don't have to tell me, man. I know. I've been there.
You
remember all those. You remember all those years I won.
Yeah, you know it well. So yeah, I was pretty happy actually. 4:37 was my time, and it was a hell of an experience. And the course was just gorgeous. It really was something to run.
Good to hear. Congratulations on that. Let's turn our attention to Sweet 16 kicking off tonight with a bunch of games. Before we talk specifically about what's ahead this weekend, what has been your take on this story that some are questioning about the autistic kid with the perfect 48-0 first round bracket?
Freaking autistic kids, man. You know. They want us to think they're handicapped. They can count cards in Vegas. They can get 100% of their games right in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, you know, it's impressive. Look, it's essentially just a crapshoot because of all the upsets this year. Nobody that followed college basketball closely would have ever picked this as a Sweet 16. So, you know, it would be an 84-year-old grandma who had her cat Sweeties, you know, just pick the teams. Or... I'm not saying the autistic kid doesn't know basketball, or maybe just a kid that did it as an exercise to, you know, help build his brain a little bit.
Your contention is when an upset happens like Kansas last weekend to Northern Iowa, which is one of the greatest upsets in the history of college basketball, your contention is that there's no way any reasonable college basketball fan could predict that.
Well, Northern Iowa is an interesting one. That's a top 25 team. You know, they probably should not have been a 9 seed. That was more like a 6 or a 5. That's why so many people were talking about the raw deal that Kansas got in their bracket. They had an 8 or a 9 that were very good teams for an 8 or a 9 in the second round. Then, you know, they get into the Sweet 16 and you got teams like Ohio State and you have Georgetown in there. Kansas really just got a crappy draw. Now, would I have picked Northern Iowa to beat them? No, but, you know, when you got a dude named Farouk Mundush, he's just a hell of a player, and he went off, you know, and that's what can happen, and these small teams can make runs when you have one, I mean, it's basketball, it's five guys, so you have one guy that loses his mind in a game, then you can pull an upset.
And that is part of what makes this time of year the best time of year in the world for sports fans. Let's talk about some of the big players, big seeded teams still in the hunt. A lot of people still think Kansas State is going to end up going all the way to the finals. How do you like them from this point out?
Well, you know, they're impressive. Their coach is so angry and so mean and full of just spit and vitriol. You got to hope that he stays in, because I swear when calls go against him, you're convinced he's going to have a Woody Hayes moment and just clothesline someone that's running up the floor because he can't control his emotions. K-State is, they have athletes, they have a dominant star in the backcourt in Jacob Pullen, and we were talking about this the last time I came in. He just couldn't, for as good as he is and as much as he can score, his defense on a kid out of BYU, I mean, you want to talk about a great name that sadly we lost, Jimmer Fredette. He just crushed Jimmer Fredette when he drew that assignment. So when you have your dominant scorer going up against a guy like that that can shut him down, combined with how good they are, that is a team that would not surprise me in the least were they to make the final game.
How about for Pac-10 fans, my Washington Huskies? I think they have the worst record of any team still alive at this point. How do you like them against West Virginia?
Well, it's Pondexter, not Poindexter. Lisa, you remember that, okay?
Right, okay.
Remember that. Anybody says Washington Husky, Huskies, you say, hey, pal, it's Pondexter, all right? It's not Poindexter.
Okay.
Get it straight. All right, that's your Washington
team
there. They're good. You know, they're good. They have what a lot of teams would like to have, and that's a good big man in Brian Amanin. They have a good backcourt in Isaiah Thomas. They have a good defensive forward in Poindexter. So they kind of have all the elements you'd need. West Virginia is a team that a lot thought were a one seed. And that's going to be a tough assignment for them. It's Bob Huggins. He's been there before. He has probably one of the five best players in the tournament, Deshaun Butler. He's the kid that you saw in the Big East tournament drill that shot against Cincinnati with no time on the clock.
Right.
He's got a penchant for making those kind of shots. So if the game's closed, he's got one of those, you know, Kobe Bryant-esque closers that just doesn't get affected by the moment and can hit a shot that you need to win a game.
We're talking to Matt Money Smith about Sweet 16 at Back in Action tonight. A lot of people think Duke is not as good as they think they are. How do you like them against Purdue?
I like that wacky Jew, John Shire, man. He can play ball. I like Duke a lot. Purdue's been interesting. You know, they lost their best player, Robbie Hummel, a white gangly dude out of Valparaiso, right at the end of the regular season. And even, I don't know if you saw Barackatology on ESPN when President Barack Obama filled out his bracket. But
when he couldn't spell Syracuse? Yeah, I saw that.
That wasn't his fault. That was freaking cats, and I don't appreciate cats putting that on the president. But Barack Obama pointed out, you know, without their best player, I see an upset here in Seattle, and a lot of people picked that. And sure enough, Purdue, because they're a Big Ten team, because they play great defense, they can shut teams down, and that's why I'm not ready to write them off. As much as I'd like Duke coming out of that bracket in the South, I think Purdue is a tough draw for them because they got this dude, Chris Kramer. Chris Kramer. All right, Lisa, you ready?
Yes.
All right. Hey, that Chris Kramer on Purdue, he's going to play football next year. All
really?
Right, there you go.
Oh,
that's what you got. His eligibility's up on the basketball court, but he was an all-state quarterback and safety. He's going to play football for the Purdue Boilermakers
wow.
next year.
How about that? That is impressive.
Yeah, when you hear someone say, man, that guy plays basketball like he's on a football field, well, you really mean it with him, and he's nasty, and that's a guy that can shut down one of Duke's big three. And you know, Purdue's got enough talent, and Etwan Moore and Juwan Johnson, and I wouldn't be surprised to see an upset there.
Interesting. All right, we're almost out of time. The president's bracket has been blown because, obviously, he picked Kansas in the final game. He's still alive with his Kentucky pick, though. How do you like them over Cornell?
Oh, I so want to see Cornell win.
Yeah.
Oh, I so want the Big Red to win and those wacky – I shouldn't say those wacky white guys. Lewis Dale's their best player, and he's an African-American dude. But Cornell's good. You know, Cornell, this is their third year in a row they've been to the tournament. They have a 7-footer and foot that's legit. He can score. He can rebound. He can pass. They have a son of a coach, Randy Whitman's son, Ryan Whitman's on that team. Lewis Dale is good. But they're going to lose by 30.
Look, it's a compliment to the team that they made it to the Sweet 16.
Yeah,
nobody expected that. I mean, it's just like with you and I. I mean, they just have to be happy to have made it to this point, I would imagine. All right, last question for you, Money. Who did you predict to end up in the final game before the tournament started, and is that prediction still alive, or do you have a new pick for us?
The prediction is still alive. I had Ohio State and Duke, and it still actually looks really good.
Wow,
but
okay.
Whether or not it's going to happen, I don't know. The problem with my bracket is, you know, I did so many of these interviews, and when people said, yeah, but Kansas is going to win, right? And you just look at that paper, and you saw that Kansas team, and you couldn't help but say, yeah, Kansas is probably going to win. But I'm still alive. I still have a little bit of breath in me.
And there's an autistic kid who's kicking your ass at the bracket. That's all I got to say. All right.
Kids.
Matt Buddy Smith, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show, as always.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday. We've been on the air for 3 hours, and finally, we're going to bring the comedy. Coming up in about 10 minutes,
what?
Actor Craig Robinson is going to be joining us.
How dare and
right
you?
Right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
And I?
Now it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
When I said this morning that Jesse James may be our next Tiger Woods, I was being somewhat facetious because another woman had come out and said she had an affair with the Monster Garage star as well. As Bombshell McGee behind Sandra Bullock's back. Well, I may have spoken the truth inadvertently.
Really? What?
Here's the thing. Melissa Smith told Star Magazine she had a 2-year affair with Jesse after he contacted her on MySpace in 2006. That's a year after he married Sandra Bullock.
Okay.
No! This according to Star Magazine. Now, details come forward of a woman named Bridget Daguerre, who is a photographer. She claims she met Jesse when she was hired to work on a West Coast Choppers photo shoot. They email and texted for a year. She also claims they had sex 4 times.
No!
She claims that she has 195 text messages to prove her case.
Oh,
just 195?
Wow. That's all. Allegedly, this affair took place in 2008.
People, this
is the third.
They got to get that Tiger text that we talked to the guy last week that makes your text disappear after they're read. That clearly needs to happen for people like Jesse James.
This Bridget Daguerre, by the way, she's a model
good
slash photographer. Yeah.
She's hot.
She has tattoos. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you wish you had Jesse's girl?
File.
Mark it.
Yeah. Well, you sort of co-signed my loan from yesterday is all I'm saying. Sort of piggybacked me. And another report, according to TMZ.com, Jesse James settled a $700,000 sexual harassment lawsuit filed by West Coast Choppers female executive who claims Jesse made various sexual advances toward her.
When was that?
During his, in 2007. This is during his marriage with Sandra Bullock as well.
By the way,
so this is number four.
I read the detail. Now, there's no sex alleged in that one, just
no,
that he
just
came on to her all the time, right? And I read the details of that, and thank God it's not like that around here. Thank God we're not getting sued for that, because
really?
We've done every single thing in that that lawsuit against Jesse James.
Yeah, but we don't mean it. That's the difference.
I know, that's it. We don't mean it, right.
It's Beans right. I kind of read some of that, too, and I was thinking the same thing, like, if you just took what we said about the deprivation tank and what we should do to Lisa if we all got in it at the same time,
that alone is worth $500,000.
It's like the death penalty.
But Lisa knows if she ever tries to sue us for it, we'll have her killed.
That's right.
Right, I do.
Right.
All the females here know that. You know, they're
I hope
under
that's
a
understood. You've never lived to testify.
Right.
So that was not an issue.
No.
Yeah.
Not a problem
that's
here.
That's the official policy of CBS Radio. A lot of people don't realize that.
Oh, yeah. Threaten them with death if they're going to sue. We've been talking about Clash of the Titans all week. I want to give you a heads up, a little TV note. Tonight on Spike at midnight, it says here. So I wonder if that is 9 o'clock here on the West Coast. Anyway, check your local listings. They're doing a special behind-the-scenes making-of special called Action Clash of the Titans, which has interviews from the set and exclusive clips and that kind of stuff. So you may want to check it out on Spike.
What a dork.
Come on. I love Clash of the Titans.
Bean hates anything manly.
I know. Slaying a freaking Medusa is not good enough for Bean. If it happened on the internet, he'd like it.
Yeah.
Put Zac Efron in it and I'll watch.
Another day, another 3D movie in the works. Buck Rogers of the 25th century. They're rebooting that franchise. This character has been around since 1928 when it was introduced as a story in a pulp magazine called Amazing Stories. And then it became a comic book, a comic strip, rather, in the newspapers, and then a comic book, and then a famous movie serial done back in the 30s, then a TV series in the 80s with Gil Gerard and Erin Gray in a very tight-fitting spacesuit, by the way.
Ooh.
And so now they're going to do a 3D, big-budget, big-screen version of Buck Rogers. So congratulations, Buck.
All right. On the TV show, Buck had a little robot named Tweaky. He used to go, beady, 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 gee, Buck.
He used to talk to him like that.
All right.
Does that make me a nerd that I know that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's just one of the many things that makes me a nerd. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Danica Patrick, 28 years old today. That is the officially the lightest bell you can get.
Yes, that's what I did. Hot for a race car driver. That's what that bell indicates.
Sean Farris from Never Back Down is 29. Catherine McPhee.
Oh, smash that bell.
From American Idol is 26 years old today. Actor Lee Pace from Pushing Daisies is 31. Lark Voorhees, Lisa Turtle, yeah. Saved by the Bell. She's aged well, that Lisa Turtle.
She's a hot chick.
She's 36. Speaking of hot chicks, you watch the White Collar over there on USA Network?
Yeah.
I watch White Collar a lot. I like that Tim Decay on that show. It's like a con man kind of show. Good entertaining television program. But Tim Decay, who plays the FBI agent on there, his wife is
I'm sorry, he's an agent for what department?
The FBI.
The FBI!
His wife is played by the beautiful and talented Amber Thiessen.
Tiffany Amber.
She dropped one of those names. I always forget which one. Anyway, but she's looking good.
She's hot. Big old melon on that broad. Like
what?
A big round.
A big head.
No.
A giant head.
Yeah. Incorrect. She's hot. She looks hot.
No, she's hot. Don't get me wrong.
Kelly Kapowski.
She's Kapowski.
She's hot.
But
you look at her and you go, Kapowski.
But you're not telling me he's like a kind of Kevin-like head?
No.
All right.
She's got some melons, but it's not on her head. You know what I'm saying?
What?
Marcia Cross is 48 years old today of Desperate Housewives. Elton John is 63. Aretha Franklin is 68.
Oh.
And Sarah Jessica Parker celebrates her 45th birthday today. I don't know if recently you saw it, but for the Oscars, I guess it was. Sarah Jessica Parker and her husband, Matthew Broderick, were on the red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And they were interviewing as they came down. Here is a clip of a reporter talking to Matthew Broderick on the red carpet. And I really think this might have been over the line.
Matthew Broderick, are you upset your wife is made fun of so much in the book?
Well, obviously, I just think it's wrong to make fun of anybody's physical appearance. My wife is a beautiful woman, and I know that most people agree with me.
Uh-huh. And Matthew, how come a transvestite donkey witch is standing next to you, and why is it wearing a dress?
They didn't even know that was his wife, Sarah Jessica Parker, who was standing next to him. Transvestite donkey witch. That seems to be... That's from South Park last night. Thank you so much. She is, what is she? 45. Like it matters. What's that in human years? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hi, I'm Craig Robinson. Let's get sexy.
Can I have some booty?
I want to have an honest moment. How many people here, this is your first time tonight seeing a black man in real life clapping hands if it's your first time?
Excuse me. I met my wife in kindergarten. We got married senior year, and she has been the queen of my world ever since.
But what if you could do it all over again?
I would live by myself. The woman is a bane of my existence.
I can't let you in because you're old as for this club, not, you know, for the earth.
Craig Robinson from The Office, he's shamelessly promoting his new movie.
Hot tub time.
Proceed.
Can I have some booty?
Yeah.
Craig Robinson, welcome back to the Kevin DeBeecher, my friend. How are you?
I am fantastical. Thank you for having me back.
Thanks for climbing out of the hot tub and joining us in 2010. We appreciate that the most.
I will never climb out of the hot tub.
We had your buddy, Mr. Cordry, on a couple of days ago, who's one of your co-stars in the Hot Tub Time Machine. Funny, funny dude, and really got us all, those of us who haven't seen the movie, Ralph, I know you have,
yes.
Really got the rest of us so pumped out about it, because it sounds like it was so much fun to make, and that translates on the screen.
It was all right.
Come on.
The thing about Cordry is he's going to be a big movie star after this movie comes out, I think.
Cordry is poised for super excellence. He stole a movie.
He steals a movie a little bit.
It was unfair from the first line he had
and evident that it was.
You could tell, really?
Oh, yeah. His character plays this a-hole who gets to do whatever he wants.
Right.
And, it's so he has so much freedom. It's so unfair.
You and John Cusack are his best buddies, and you take him on a trip back to the old ski resort town where you guys used to hang out when you were young men, and that's sort of to rekindle your friendship.
It's called Kodiak Valley. We call it K-Vals.
K-Vals.
And, that's exactly what happened. We got into a hot tub and went back to 1986.
Oh, that old happens. Plot line. That again, huh? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. People call it cliche.
You are the, especially, I mean, you're a comic anyway, so you're used to improv and working on your feet, and especially after your experience all these years on The Office, you're kind of a master at the improv, comfortable with that. Was that the
master
case with a guy
like, at the improv!
Is that the case with a guy like Johnny Cusack? Because he doesn't strike me as that's the kind of background he has.
Cusack put it down in this movie here. I think that's going to surprise a lot of people, even though he's, best known for some of the greatest comedies in the
80s.
Yeah,
true. Yeah.
But I know what you're saying there. And so, yeah, he was, when he came on board, because they had Rob and myself first, mm-hmm. and Clark Duke, and then Cusack came on. It was, when he came on, he was like, he's exec producer, so he's like, we can do whatever y'all want. We can put a bear. You want to wrestle bear? We can do it. So, yeah, he came on, and he was, improvising, and we all just got along famously.
Great.
The movie is one of those when you watch, you say, this is the kind of movie people are going to be quoting lines from for 20 years from now. It's like one of those classic comedies, I think, where people will be saying, great. White Buffalo.
Great White Buffalo.
I need to hear.
You got to go.
Great White Buffalo.
Damn you.
People will be saying, I'm already saying with my friends.
Somebody texted me Great White Buffalo last night, and I texted back Great White Buffalo.
That's going to blow up, I'm telling you. And we get to see you sing a little bit, which is nice.
Oh,
you
cool.
A little musical performance from Mr. Robinson.
Yes, I got to do an 80s song.
Yeah.
Entitled Jesse's Girl. I don't know if you.
Oh, we do.
Oh, yeah. Before, and then I'll bring it back to the future with some Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah. You introduced Black Eyed Peas to the 80s.
Oh, no.
Now, in the 80s, did the Black Eyed Peas still suck? Or how does that work?
Hatred.
I'm just saying, they're the worst popular band in America, Craig.
Are you kidding me? I love the Black Eyed Peas.
No, you don't. You're just saying that because they're in your movie. Come on.
What?
They're horrible.
You just don't understand.
Don't they make you want to shake your booty?
You don't understand where they come from, man. You kidding?
Where do they come from, Craig?
That's the joint. That's the jam.
Now, that Black Eyed Peas is good.
Yeah.
Ten years ago, Black Eyed Peas is great.
They haven't gone anywhere. I've been to Black Eyed Peas shows. Black Eyed Peas rock. Hard.
Wow. You've just knocked out a couple of steps of respect here.
Did the things that couples do when they're in love. Walks on the beach and stuff. Things that lovers say and do. I love you, boo. I love you, too. I miss you a lot. I miss you even more. That's why I flew you out when we were on tour. But it's rap. It's music. It's singing. It's dancing. Black Eyed Peas.
All I know is
Great White Buffalo.
Crowd loves it in the movie. And do it out.
And I did a flip.
Yeah, you did a flip.
What do you mean you did a flip?
I did a flip. Oh, you see the movie. This is
like a backflip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did a couple of them, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're known for your athleticism, so that's not a surprise to me.
Exactly.
Gymnastics background.
I'm not known for my athleticism, but, this is another side of me that Steve Pink was like, we need to show this side of you. Because I would be doing things on set. He's like, let's get that in the movie.
Right.
Do that backflip. Yes.
Uh-huh. The stuntman looks like he's about 5'7", by the way.
I shrink.
Craig Robinson is here.
That sounds like a high school winning movie. I shrink when I flip.
It sure does.
I shrink when I flip.
Hot Tub Time Machine opens everywhere on Friday. More with Mr. Robinson when we return right after this on the Kevin DeBee Show.
1, 2, 3, Hot Tub Time Machine.
Hey, everybody. Oh. How about Craig Wilson?
Yeah. Craig Wilson is here in studio with us from the Hot Tub Time Machine.
He's the best.
I am Craig Wilson.
Oh, wait, it's Craig Robinson, sorry. Hot Tub Time Machine opens up everywhere on Friday. We hear nothing but great things about it. Ralph, you were saying you were sad when it ended. You enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, you find out in the course of the film that these guys pretty much have one night to do what they need to do in order to get back
to the present. And the minute that plot point was revealed to me, I was sort of bummed because I would like to see much more time with these characters in that situation. That's how good the movie is. You want more of it.
Thank you. A lot of things happen in that one night.
Oh, trust me.
Though.
You guys pack it in. Don't get me wrong.
we start early in the morning and we just go and go and go. So
now, I know no one has seen the movie yet here, especially Bean, so I don't mean to take up too much time. And the listeners will have to go see it this weekend. But can I just briefly talk to you about the scene with you and Tara, the groupie? In the bathtub.
Yes. I'm prepared to talk about that.
There's a scene where Craig's young character, when he was back at this place in the 80s, was in a band and he had sex with a groupie. And they think they have to do everything they did that same
so
night.
So they don't change.
They don't change the future.
The butterfly effect.
The butterfly
effect.
That's right.
Okay.
And so Craig's character is married at this point, but still has to have sex with the hottest girl you've ever seen in your life.
Married, but faithful and deeply in love with his wife.
But you, Craig, the actor, got to have that girl climbing all over you in a tub for a day and a half, I'm sure.
Here's the thing. The actor, Nick, I was so into the character. I don't... It's like it happened to someone else.
Screw you.
You didn't even enjoy it, right?
Yeah, I wasn't able to enjoy it because I was Nick. Nick.
Uh-huh. Right.
And Nick wasn't able to enjoy it because he was cheating on his wife, and that is not his stilo.
Right. There are no winners here.
Exactly.
I see.
No winners here at all.
It was tough. But upon seeing the footage, that was the amazing... Jessica Paré.
Jessica does an excellent job in the film.
Yes, she does an excellent job. And if you listen, you'll probably miss it because people are laughing over it. But she says some funny things in that.
You keep calling her by your wife's name. You keep screaming your wife's name out while you're in the tub. She keeps correcting you.
Courtney.
Yes.
Courtney.
Tara.
Tara. Yeah. And I'm crying.
He's crying.
Nick is crying.
It's very entertaining.
Don't tell me anymore.
Oh, it's good.
Stop it.
I'm used to my partner crying during sex. I'm not used to me being the one who's crying. Great White Buffalo.
Great White Buffalo.
Hey, Craig, I'm sure it was a lot of fun to do all the period stuff to go back to the 80s, but what was the craziest thing that you can't believe we actually lived through, that people actually did, that was considered fashionable or acceptable in the 1980s that you have in the movie?
Lingerie and jogging suits. Cut up jogging suits and lingerie.
You mean like the flash dance, the leg warmers and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, Madonna. You know what I'm talking about? You got the headband. And we just walk around like that. I would wear the lingerie and jogging suit. And it was just a crazy look. I don't think I've ever caught on to the look. I went to Illinois State University in the 80s. Wait, end of the 80s, 89. And it was always really crazy with the big hair and the crimps. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Yeah, the crimpers. Yeah, the hair's crimps.
Where they crimp their hair?
Yeah.
Like a perm?
Yeah, black people call it S-curl. But it was just...
You were never rocking the kid and play fade when you were younger?
I had the kid and play. I had a very high fade.
Did you really?
It was a good foot up in the air. Yeah. I'm dead serious. It was like, and that's what it was. It was almost like a lion. You know, and who has the bigger mane, you know?
Because the kid who plays you young in the movie is rocking the kid in play fade, which is very impressive.
And I think that's that came about because they were like, what was your hair like in the 80s? And I was
sweet. Bang. We have a clip of Mr. Robinson in the hot tub time machine. Mike, help me out here. What do we need to know before we hear this?
This is, I think, when the cast really discovers that they have, in fact, traveled through time.
Dude is rocking the set list.
Relax, I'm sure there's a reasonable explanation.
Craig Wallace! Camera crew!
Excuse me, miss. What color is Michael Jackson?
Black.
That's all you need to know.
Hot tub time machine.
If only it were real. Hey, let's take one quick call from Vince, who has a question before Craig has to get on out of here on the Kevin and Bean Show, line one. Hi, Vince. Welcome to the show. You're on with Craig. Go ahead.
Good morning, party people.
Hi.
Hey, Craig.
I wanted to ask Craig, is Eastbound and Down ever coming back on?
Eastbound?
Yeah, where the hell is Eastbound and Down, Craig?
Eastbound and Down is coming back. They are writing it right now. And watch out. That's all I got to say. They told me a couple of the beginning episode, just the beginning scene of the new season. It's
and you're back.
They got no
you're
more rules.
Recurring character, right?
No
you're
more
still back.
Rules. Oh yeah, I'll be back.
Great.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't ask, are you going to keep your desk in the office? Are they going to keep you in your own office?
It's so funny to have you up there now.
That Saber has moved you up into management.
I know, right? Hey,
tucking your shirt.
Your mouth to God's ears. I love being up there, so
keep you out of
we'll
the warehouse.
See what happens.
Yeah, it's good news for Daryl on The Office this season, that's for sure. All right, always so much going on with Craig, and I know you're not going to be able to join us in a couple of weeks for this year's April Foolishness. Aww. We want to thank you again.
And
for
I'm disappointed more than anyone.
Sure. Of course you are. You wanted a do-over, right?
Craig Wilson really won't be there.
Yes, I want to thank you again, though, for the phenomenal job you and the band did last year. Maybe next year your schedule will permit you appearing again, because we loved having you on that bill. You were the breakout hit of the night. We raised so much money for charity. I'm sorry you can't be there this year, but thanks again for that. And it's always great to catch up with the Craig. Everybody, go see Hot Tub Time Machine. It opens everywhere on Friday.
Great Web Buffalo.
Great Web Buffalo. Thank you.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I got to be honest, I'm still a little surprised by the list that Ralph did yesterday during his showbiz report. Lisa, remember when he was talking about America's most loved spokes creatures?
Mm-hmm.
Not people, not humans that they hire to do advertising campaigns, but inanimate objects. And he had, the Forbes list that he was quoting from that Ralph had had the M&Ms at the top, at number one, the most beloved of all. I never would have thought of that, the M&Ms. They leave this review cold.
Listen, it is a little shocking. But what's
I mean, they have their own story.
When
we were in Times Square last year, hold on. When we were in Times Square last year in New York, broadcasting for the MTV Video Music Awards, remember, Lisa, in Times Square, there's an M&M's store there where you can go in and buy, like, plush characters of the M&M's.
There's an M&M candy museum in Las Vegas. But that's beside the point.
What's up
with
that?
What's more shocking to me is that your guess was the Clausen Pickle Bird.
Which turned out to be wrong.
Which wasn't even the right company.
Classic anyway.
Never crossed my mind.
Lisa,
one.
Ralph, and I almost fell out of our chairs.
Yes.
Just the disbelief that you would even come up with that.
The Vlasic stork. The stork that, you know, the Groucho Marx, stork that the Vlasic pickles.
Oh, well, how about the Vlasic pickle bird?
Well, we were trying to guess some of the other ones on the list. Pillsbury Doughboy was number two on the list. Tony the Tiger was three. Mrs. Butterworth. Too bad Kevin wasn't here.
All right, give us some background on Mrs. Butterworth. Is she a slave woman?
The Geico Gecko, by the way, was number five on the list among the most popular of these spokes creatures. Now, I would have thought that was number one because it just seems like everybody loves those little geckos, right?
But yeah, I thought so too. Yeah, I was surprised.
Aunt Jemima, the Kool-Aid pitcher was on the list. Mm-hmm. Snap, Crackle, and Pop were in the top ten. But yeah, you're right. There was no...
No.
wasn't exactly a lot of the Vlasic pickle story. All right. Hang on. We got... let's take one call on line six, please, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking about this list from Forbes magazine. Hello?
Hello. Is Bean there?
This is Bean.
This is the Vlasic pickle stork. I just want to thank you so much for thinking of me. No one's even gave me a thought since in 30 years no one's been talking about me.
How is the Vlasic pickle stork listening to the show?
I'm a big fan of the show. I listen to it over in Los Angeles doing some new commercials. Oh, that's a crunchy pickle. That's the crunchiest pickle I ever heard.
Well, I mean, I guess thank you for the call. I was just thinking you might be on the list. I thought you might be more popular than you are, I guess.
Well, we certainly should be, because these Vlasic pickles are so crisp.
I understand. They're quite crisp.
They're crisp and delicious. I love a good pickle. I'll take a pickle in almost any orifice.
Oh, wow.
Wax smacking the bang the boo.
Finally, giving the Chili Peppers a little love on the Kevin Bean Show. It's about time. We've ignored them for way, way too long.
Yes.
106.7 KROQ, it is 8:49. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Ralph, have you tuned in to that Ryan Seacrest produced Jamie Oliver show? Have you seen that yet? That Food Revolution or whatever it's called?
I've sure heard him interviewed everywhere.
It's about him turning us on to eating better so we don't die, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worst idea for a TV show ever, right?
Yes.
Great show.
Yes.
Worst
Who wants
idea
to
ever?
Watch a TV show about, put the cookies away and have a grilled chicken breast? How is that a show?
Some broccoli this entire town. Here, entire town, eat Melba toast. F you British F.
I think absolutely. I'm a minority of people, but I love it, and I think it's a great show, and more people should watch it, and I think he's doing a great job.
I don't think
you
it should be allowed on the air.
That's and stardust and air. F you too. Your diet from hell.
It offends me in every way possible, that show, and I haven't seen it. All right, time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph Garvin.
Yeah, great story. Unless you're Jesse James, coming out today, more women admitting that they, too, allegedly had alleged affairs with Jesse James, allegedly, behind his wife's back, allegedly.
Uh-huh.
First, of course, was Michelle Bombshell McGee. Not only was a tattoo and fetish model, but apparently quite the Nazi. She had an affair with Jesse for 11 months, she claims. Sold her story to In Touch Weekly magazines, willing to give out more details, including photos, she says, for another $100,000. But then also today came along Melissa Smith. She is an exotic dancer and says that she met Jesse after he contacted her after seeing her photo at a West Coast Choppers party, contacted her via her MySpace page, and they had sex for 2 years behind his wife's back, she claims. Bridget Daguerre, she is a photographer slash model who says she met Jesse at a West Coast Choppers photo shoot, and they emailed and texted back and forth for a year. They had sex 4 times, she says, in 2008 behind Sandra Bullock's back.
Why can't these whores just keep their big mouths shut?
Amen.
She says she has 195 text messages to prove her case. So, 3 that we know of are coming forward now saying that they also had affairs with Jesse James.
Well, if they have all these text messages to prove it, that is not looking good for him.
First thing I'm doing, throwing out my cell phone. That's what I'm going to do.
No kidding.
No good comes from having a cell phone, apparently.
No one goes to the idea of not cheating, really.
No.
It's
no,
just not
Lisa,
to get caught.
What's wrong
it
with
never
you?
Crosses anyone.
Why don't you
They're
shut
all
up?
Big mouths. Why doesn't he keep it in Jeez. His pants? That never,
oh, golly
that
gosh.
Never is spoken.
Oh, how are the 1800s there, school marm?
I don't know what fantasy world you're living in. Hey, Lisa, let me ask you this question. I'm going to pretend for a minute I care what the ladies think, and that is, has there been any, if Sandra Bullock, who seems to have everything, is beautiful and talented and smart and funny, if she can't keep her man faithful, what hope is there for me? Have you heard that from any of your little hens?
I haven't.
Little hens?
No.
Or you should think, you should think about it.
There are plenty of guys out there
but
that
you should think
are
about
faithful.
It. No.
Yeah,
it's her.
Are.
She's obviously failed him in some
I
level.
Don't think
that's why he's going outside looking at tattooed Nazis.
I
think
that's
clearly kind of deficient. Woman, if she was any kind of woman, he wouldn't have to go up and have sex with tattooed
so
Nazis.
Maybe if she wasn't self-esteem issues.
Maybe if she wasn't bringing in random kids from the other side of the track and making them into football
That's right.
players.
She wasn't busy adopting black kids. Maybe she had a little more time for a man.
With her hard-working blue-collar husband.
She wasn't chasing Bradley Cooper all over God's green earth while he's driving around in a van. Maybe things wouldn't be so bad in their household.
The kids that she's being stepmom to for
him. Oh, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
What a...
It's been such a treat for her.
Oh, I made a peanut butter sandwich for a kid once. Ooh, give me a medal. Screw her.
Pay attention to your husband once in a while,
That's
you
right.
hag.
Oh, my God.
A little more sexy Andre, a little less evening gowns. Up for the Oscars.
Getting a little long in the tooth, too, to be giving us attitude.
Word.
Shut your mouth. Whore.
Speaking of whores who should shut their mouths, great list from a website called Mad Adams, who gives us a list of the most physically lusted after women from this year all the way back to 1949. These are the women that have been most masturbated to by men.
Wow.
Everywhere.
This is my ballpark right here. This is my specialty.
This is the celebrities that were most masturbated to for each calendar year from 2009 back to 1949 and the projects that put us foremost in our spank bank.
Okay, now, of course, being here, I'm only interested in those pre-1960, but where are you going to start the list from?
I'm going to start this year, Bean. Sorry to harsh your mellow, but I'm going to start with 2009, last year, because this year is still young. We don't know what this year is going to be, but 2009.
Megan Fox.
And the project that gave everyone such wood?
Jennifer's Body.
Absolutely correct. Last year.
Cheerleader, for God's sake.
The year before that, 2008, who do you think was the most enjoyed female celebrity by men everywhere from the year 2008?
Well, I guessed this off the air.
He did.
And did.
It blew everybody away.
Sarah Palin. Vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin.
You can look at her and go attractive for a politician, but that's very different than most masturbated woman.
You don't get it. I guess you don't have the mind of a pervert. It's not about necessarily who's the hottest chick of 2008. It's that she burst onto the scene and she was in front of your face a lot in 2008.
Right.
And she came from a category of women that aren't typically attractive.
Right.
So there's so much more interesting.
The position of power, and she was sort of inappropriate and kind of saucy. And I absolutely agree. 2007 was a good year for me. Christina Hendricks from Mad Men was the winner.
Oh,
that year.
Well, that makes sense.
Came into our consciousness,
2006, Eva Green from Casino Royale.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
2005, Evangeline Lilly for Lost.
Sure.
2004, it says here, Paris Hilton. That was the year of One Night in Paris for porn
saving.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
So, that makes sense. 2003, Beyonce Knowles.
Uh-huh.
Her album cover for Dangerously in Love gave everyone the idea.
That barely their dress, sure.
Scarlett Johansson won for 2002. Angelina Jolie for 2001.
That was the original year. Tomb Raider.
The year Lara Croft Tomb Raider, exactly. Cindy Margolis took the year 2000.
That was when she was at her peak.
Most downloaded person at the time.
Yeah.
Britney Spears, 1999.
Oh,
oh yeah, absolutely.
1998, Denise Richards and Neve Campbell split the title because that was the year Wild Things came out.
Yeah, I'm still sore from that year.
Pamela Anderson, Sex Tape with Tommy Lee in 1997.
That's a good list.
A tie in 1996 between Fiona Apple for a Criminal video. Remember her all kind of naughty and jailbaity all over that shag carpet? And then Gina Gershon and Jennifer Tilly for Bound. Remember the lesbian scene in Bound?
That's right.
1995 was the year of Jenna Jameson. No need to explain there. And it goes, keeps going. I could talk about this all day, but it's a great list. And you should check it out. Mad Adams, as in Adam Bomb. ATOMS. MadAdams.com is the website. From 2009 back to 1949. It's a great list.
Notice that Sandra Bullock's not on that list, not keeping her man happy, too.
That's right. That? Doesn't appear on the list not once. Winnie Cooper from Wonder Years is on the list. But she's not. That's all you need to know. And sad news for movie and TV fans. Actor Robert Culp has passed away at the age of 79 years old. He was probably best known for I Spy, but he also was known for The Greatest American Hero. He was in that. 160 movies and TV shows during his lengthy career.
Wow.
But his biggest contribution to entertainment, I suppose, was agreeing to co-star with an unknown comedian named Bill Cosby in the TV series I Spy back in the 60s. It was the first dramatic series to have a black actor as a lead character on national television, and it made Bill Cosby a big, big star. So it's a sad day. Robert Culp was one of those guys when you look back in the 60s, you say, oh, that's the guy you wanted to be. One of those cool dudes hanging out at the Playboy Mansion all the time, playing a spy on television. Just didn't get any better.
What a creep fest that guy was.
Come on!
No.
He's no Buzz Aldrin.
Exactly. That's my point.
I'm Buzz. I'm Buzz.
I'm Ashley Costa.
And I'm Buzz. This is Little Buzz.
All right.
Buzz Lightyear, I call him.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Danica Patrick is 28 years old today. Sean Faris from Never Back Down is 29. Catherine McPhee celebrates her 26th birthday. Actor Lee Pace from Pushing Daisies is 31. Lark Voorhees.
Yeah.
That's a great name, Lark Voorhees.
She could definitely top my list of spank back in, 89, 90.
Yeah. Lisa Turtle on Saved by the Bell. She's 36 years old. Sarah Jessica Parker. He's 45 years old. Marcia Cross turns 48. Elton John is 63 years old. And Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul. Oh, man, they're just throwing everything at her. She is 68 years old today. Be careful, she will eat that gong. I am not kidding. I'm Rob Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. New rules, much debated, finally going into effect with the upcoming season. In overtime, they change the way you win. We'll talk to our NFL correspondent, Eli Manning, coming up here in a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's always got some special insight into the topic at hand.
Yeah.
First, though, time for some email. You can always go to the website, kevinandbean.com, to get any of our email addresses. We enjoy hearing from you. We do write back as much as we can. Of course, it's not always possible, but thank you. Thank you. Keep those emails coming, especially if you've got comments or suggestions for the show. Here's one. I usually just write to Beam, but I want to make sure Kevin sees this too, since he's the hater of the bunch. I wish there were a rule where you don't have to say bless you every time someone sneezes. I just got done blessing my coworker. I don't know how many times when all I really wanted to do was tell him to shut the F up. I work in a small office, so out of politeness, everyone always says bless you whenever someone sneezes. After every sneeze, no matter how many times, it's so annoying. Don't you just hate it when you have to say bless you? I know you don't have to, but I was raised to say it. I feel obligated, even though I would much rather yell out curse you instead. That comes from Heather, who's
all right.
In trouble.
She's angry.
What do I do, Lisa, when you sneeze?
You tell me to stop it, and if you were here, I would punch you in the face. It's so annoying.
I think that if someone starts to just say, stop it. That's what you got to do. That's great. Dear Kevin and Bean, Brian writes, so is Psycho Mike leaving your show to go co-host Loveline? If so, can I please do all the Mexican voices? Thanks. Brian writes it. Psycho Mike, people may be confused because they may have heard Dr. Drew talking about the fact that you are going to be joining him full-time on the nationally syndicated Loveline show. What's going on there?
I am, in fact, joining Dr. Drew, hosting the nationally syndicated show Loveline, but I'm going to stay here at Kevin and Bean as long as I possibly can because I love you all.
Oh, isn't wasn't that nice.
Don't feel like you need to. I mean, if you want to skedaddle on out, go ahead. I mean, you know, go ahead and take off. If it's greener pastures for you, we don't want to hold you back.
Nah,
Mike.
I still haven't got a Blumpkin from Lisa. When I do, then I can go.
All right, hey, it's in my control.
Make it happen, Lisa. I'll pay whatever it takes for the shower afterwards. Hey, Kevin and Bean, I'm a Los Angeles native who now lives in New York City, so I listen to the show via podcast, usually a couple of days behind. Today, I listened to the beginning of the Monday show where you told Psycho Mike this, and I quote, "As a guy who has a few more years longer being Bean than you do, I'm telling you, A, you will live forever, and B, you won't want to," end quote. How did you predict the premise of the Richard Alpert episode of Lost 3 days later? Eerie. You know, it's so weird. I am Richard Alpert in a way that I will probably live forever, yet it's pretty miserable to be me. So,
good times.
Something to count with that.
I have one for you, if you want.
Yes, yes, okay. Absolutely.
You know, we were talking about the census yesterday, taking calls from people who don't want to fill out the census form because they think it's a big government conspiracy. A lot of people think that somehow they're going to use that information to round up minorities. So Bill wrote in and he said, all these yahoos calling in have it wrong. Everyone forgets there's a brother in the White House, which means it's never been more dangerous to be whitey. It all makes sense now. The president's a non-citizen and a terrorist man of color. White internment camps, here we come. Payback is a bitch. I told my wife, put down, we're black.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yes, I wish I hadn't sent mine in already.
Seriously, I don't want to end up in one of those white internment camps. That's probably going to happen, too, if you fill out the census.
For
I got
sure.
A couple on the census topic, too. And I think some people listening were really surprised at how many listeners out there really believe that bad things will happen to you if you fill out the census. Here's one that kind of recaps what the conversation was that we had with some of the listeners from Jason. I think the whole reason the government put out the 2010 census was to show how dumb Kevin and Bean's listeners are. Here's how your conversation just went that I was listening to on the air. The census is unconstitutional. Actually, the census is in the Constitution. Yeah, but it asks for religion. They shouldn't do that. No, they don't actually ask for your religion at all. Did you actually read the questions, douche? I'm Puerto Rican, and I'm offended they don't have that as an option. Hey, you can cross out black and write in Puerto Rican if you want. I think they should add an 11th question. Do you actually read the questions before you form an opinion on the census? If you answer no, they'll bomb your house. That's Jason. So
very well done.
I guess the point is just fill it out. And one more. Here's JB. Guys, I tried to call in. I'm serious about this. I'm not joking. You know how small they can make microphones these days? I know it sounds crazy, but listen. Last night I was talking to a buddy of mine, and his census was out on the table in the room where we were talking. He asked what I was doing today. I told him I was going to work, like usual. Then when I left the house this morning, there were a bunch of cars going the same direction I was. At first, it was just a few. Then by the time I got to the freeway, there were at least 40 of them. I bet they were all government spies. This has to end. Destroy your senses immediately. I don't know. Jason makes a pretty good point.
Wow.
And now, a moment with Bean. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome for the first time on the Kevin and Bean Show, and I hope there will be many other appearances, Miyuku Hatayoma. Hi. Yama. There's no way I said that right.
Nope.
Hello. How are you?
Wait, who was that?
That was the worst intro ever.
It was terrible.
That was a moment with me.
Yay.
I don't deserve this job. It's 106.7 KROQ. It's 9:23. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It has been debated hotly in recent years, none more so than after Brett Favre, boo-hoo-hoo, didn't get a chance to go to the Super Bowl. His team, the Minnesota Vikings, were eliminated by the Saints in the playoffs last year. And you remember it was an overtime game, Psycho Mike, and they didn't even get to take the field because the existing rule at the time was first team that scores wins. Saints scored a field goal. Boom. It's over.
Game over.
Well, now they've changed it. New overtime change has been passed. It goes into effect this coming season. Now you can no longer win with a field goal in overtime. If you get a touchdown, you still win. If you get a field goal, the other team gets the opportunity to come back on the field and either get a touchdown and win it or get a field goal their own selves, and then it goes into sudden death as usual. So it's very, very exciting. We want to know how that impacts one of our favorite players in the game, the quarterback from your New York Giants, Eli Manning, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Eli.
Hi.
How are you, buddy?
Eli.
Yeah, what's going on?
Eli Manning.
That's correct. You sure are.
10.
You're where the number 10 on the Giants.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. 1-0.
It is 10. Yes. Eli, how are you enjoying your off season? I guess you're getting close enough now that you got to start working out and thinking about the new season just around the corner, right?
I'm already here at spring training.
Spring? You don't have spring training in football, Eli.
Yeah. Where is everybody? I'm here.
No. Spring training is for baseball. You need to wait about a month or so and then start showing up to work out for football camp.
Oh, that's why these guys have big pieces of wood.
That's right. They're playing a different game. Eli, we wanted to get your opinion on the new NFL overtime changes in the rules. What do you think?
Yeah, the rules have changed.
Right.
Yes. And at the end of the game, if the other team scores, they used to kill you.
No. Nobody got killed. You just lost the game if the other team scored. But a guy like you is a quarterback. You couldn't even go out on the field. So, what? What are you talking about?
It was sudden death. They kill you.
That's just an expression.
The quarterback had a shotgun.
No, that's a football term that means something else. It's a position that the players are on the field. They don't actually shoot anyone. No one dies.
No, they changed the rules. Now, if you go and you score a field goal, 3 points.
Right? It's always been 3 points, but the difference is in overtime now that you don't win the game now if the other team hasn't had a chance to come out on the field yet.
Right, you lose the game.
You don't lose the game.
You make a field goal, you lose.
No, that's not...
The kickers are losers.
I don't think you've really read the rule, Eli. That's not how it's going to play out at all.
Home run!
Well, congratulations on that, I guess.
It's sudden death. I won the Super Bowl.
It doesn't. Oh, Eli. It doesn't work like that. I can't help you. I'm sorry.
Touchdown!
Yeah! All right!
A lot of love for Harvey Danger, apparently.
Harvey Danger!
What a 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 9:34. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. One more look at the showbiz beat with our friend Ralph Garman on a Thursday. What's going on, Ralph?
Have you seen the photos of Lindsay Lohan on TMZ?
Oh, no.
Poor girl.
Is this her crawling around on her hands and knees looking like she can't stand if she wants to?
I don't know whether it was sobriety or lack thereof or clumsiness, but they've got pictures of her making her way to her friend's house after a night in the town where she fell over on her heels and landed in a cactus in her friend's front yard.
Oh, no.
That's good stuff. So, just saying. Check out TMZ.com. Oh, Jesse. Oh, Jesse James. Oh, Jesse James. Why do you behave like the outlaw after which you are named? With your behavior, he is apparently been a busier boy than we first expected. Of course, everyone knows by now, Michelle Bombshell McGee came forward to In Touch Weekly magazine for $30,000 and said she had an affair that lasted about a year with the soon-to-be ex-husband of Sandra Bullock. Now, more women are coming out of the woodwork saying they, too, had affairs with Jesse James behind Sandra Bullock's back. A young lady named Melissa Smith lists her occupation as exotic dancer. Said she had sex with Jesse for about 2 years after he reached out to her when he saw a photo of her at a West Coast Choppers party. They had sex often on his office couch.
I don't know if the happy couple is going to be able to patch it up, but if they do, Jesse James is not going to be allowed to have internet. That's just going to be part of the deal, is because he apparently meets all of these women online by emailing them saying, hey, come meet me. I want to take pictures, you know?
Well, one of the reasons we think he may be more women than just these, I mean, there's another woman named Bridget Daguerre, who is a photographer model. She said she met him after a photo shoot for West Coast Choppers in 2008. Another story said that Jesse would go on Craigslist when his wife was out of town and advertise for tattooed broads to look for and stuff. So, we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Really bad.
But it does look bad for them as a couple, which is sad because she's Hollywood sweetheart for God's sake.
That's right. I like them both so much. This whole story saddens me.
It's too bad she had to go and screw it all up.
Really? Can we not do that again?
We don't have time for that riff. Buck Rogers is waking up once again in the 25th century. This franchise has been around for, about 100 years. Seriously, it's been about 80 years. It's been introduced in a magazine in 1928, rather. And he's had a bunch of different TV and movie incarnations. Yet another time, we're going to see Buck on the big screen. Buck Rogers, the 3D movie, is apparently in the works. Science fiction classic, so we'll have to wait and see. And casting news.
Does he get in a hot tub time machine to get to the 25th century? Is that how that works?
No, I forget how he gets there. I think he's flying. He's a fighter pilot, and I think he's just flying in the air, and then he hits like a wormhole or a rift in time or something and ends up floating in space in the 25th century where he's rescued by by the people from Earth from that era. But he's got to, you know, he's a fish out of water, has to adapt.
Sure.
His new time frame. Angela Bassett has joined the cast of Green Lantern opposite Ryan Reynolds. She'll play a character named Dr. Amanda Waller, who is a government agent. If you read comic books at all, you probably recognize her name from the Suicide Squad. She put the Suicide Squad together.
Well, of course. Of course. Yeah,
we all know that.
Everybody knows that.
Mark Strong, by the way, has been cast as Sinestro, Green Lantern's arch nemesis. It's very exciting.
Mexican?
Mark Strong?
Sinestro.
Sinestro, no. He's Kurgarian. You know that.
What's that?
From the planet Korrigar.
Oh, forgive me. Oh, my God. Forgive me.
Foreign language.
Mark Strong was seen as the nemesis in Sherlock Holmes and will be seen soon in Kick-Ass coming up soon. So he's doing a lot of work these days. Very talented actor. Beyonce.
Oh.
Yes.
Her family's got some major drama going on in it. Apparently, her father, Matthew Knowles, is a daddy again. A young woman named Alexandra Wright has filed a paternity suit against Matthew Knowles, and they did a DNA test, and apparently it has been confirmed that he is the father of her son, Nixon. Do you name your kid Nixon?
Nope.
I don't think you do.
Hasn't that name been ruined pretty much forever?
Yeah, yeah. So Beyonce's got to be what? 28 or something like that?
Right.
And he's also got like a 2-year-old.
Right.
It's that kind of a deal, right?
Yes. He's going to be paying $8,200 per month in child support. So it looks like that's a foregone conclusion that he was going to be paying for another kid.
Yeah.
He's a busy boy. And Kourtney Kardashian's son, Mason.
Glendale.
I wonder if Mason has met Nixon.
They're friends.
Right there at the Mason Nixon line.
Oh! Saw it coming and it still impressed me.
Mason apparently is already spoiled. According to Star Magazine, Kourtney Kardashian hired a professional photographer to take photos of Mason in several different settings.
You want a picture, bro?
She hired a makeup artist and hairdresser for the little guy. The whole shoot cost $100,000.
Oh, and how old is little Mason?
He is an infant. He is, I don't know,
eight
months?
Not even.
6 months?
So that old.
The broad... Of the three of the Kardashians, the one that isn't Kim and isn't married to Lamar Odom still has that much dough?
Sure.
Well, they have that show, and they had the other show.
Yeah, I know. I mean, and I'm sure they make a good living, but $100,000 at your disposal? That's, yeah. I mean, they got to have a lot of cash.
Well, Disick, he's a big success. Oh, no, wait a minute. He's unemployed, I think.
He's the worst of all people, right?
He's the worst of all people. You're absolutely right, yes. He's a major douchebag. And speaking of money... Matt Money Smith. It's been confirmed by the Discovery Channel that they have indeed picked up the much rumored, overhyped Sarah Palin TV show.
Yeah. Oh, seriously?
Sarah Palin's reality TV show about Alaska, an 8-episode series, has been purchased by Discovery. Mark Burnett is her production partner. And reportedly, Sarah will be getting $1 million per episode.
Oh! And by the way.
It? Wow.
And by the way, it's like a travel show about Alaska, the type of show you see on all sorts of channels that no one would even ever think to watch if Sarah Palin's name were on.
It's her giving a tour of Alaska.
It's not political at all?
No, it's a tour of Alaska.
Nope.
It's a tour of the wilderness of Alaska.
Because they're her fans.
You betcha, over there, that's where I shoot a moose. It's that kind of stuff.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so she will be the host and producer of the show, apparently getting $1 million per. How's
goodness
that?
Me.
Well,
holy mackerel.
Raising money for 2012, guys.
Guess.
And Katherine Heigl has confirmed
that she has snaggle teeth.
Fans can wish a fond adieu to Dr. Izzy Stevens. If you're a Grey's Anatomy fan, you know Dr. Izzy was her character. She tells Entertainment Weekly that she's officially done with the show. She was supposed to show up in March and work on the show, and she opted not to show up.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
She was supposed to go back to work in March. They kept waiting for her, and then she didn't show.
She
and
just didn't go?
They kept waiting, and then they called her, and she said, no, I have a newly adopted daughter, and I'm going to spend time with her. So they finally released her from her contract, which is what she wanted all along.
So there's no plot line, then? There's
no
we can't get to see her catch fire or anything good like that.
No resolution for Izzy. I think Izzy just will, hey, did you hear about Izzy? It'd be one of those scenes.
Yeah.
No, what? She moved to Oklahoma.
She's kind of been in and out this season anyway. Exactly.
And At the Movies has been canceled. The program that gave us two thumbs up. Remember two thumbs up?
Sure.
Still
my favorite position.
I can't even picture that.
Still a popular review for movies. Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert started the show in 1975. It has now been canceled.
Who is doing it?
A.O. Scott from the New York Times and Michael Phillips from the Chicago Tribune.
Oh.
That's right.
That's right. Like, you still watch that show?
No, but I'm familiar with those guys. I certainly have seen them
before.
You
like to stay current. I forgot.
Richard Roper was still on it until last year. He had stuck with it. And
then
he had
guests on, I remember.
He had guest hosts all the time.
Like,
and
Kevin
then
Smith would go on.
This is the year that they replaced him with two full-time hosts, but apparently it just wasn't cutting it anymore, I guess.
Yeah, so it has been canceled. And along those lines, also has been announced that The Hills is entering its final season.
Thank God.
Seeing the end of the crew from The Hills, apparently. MTV has figured they have really milked that crew for as much drama as they can get out of them. And it may be true.
All right, guys, what happens to Heidi now? Is she going to be another one of these celebrities that we can never get rid of? Or will she really go away after The Hills is done?
We're never going to get rid of her.
That's what I think,
really?
Too. Yeah.
I think there's more of a chance.
In a world where Omarosa still shows up from time to time, I don't think you're getting rid of Spidey.
I don't think she has that deep down desire. I think it's all fueled by Spencer. I think he's the one that's going to stick around forever. And
look at me too, though, Mike.
Look what she did to herself.
But
and
I
that's
think
part
that,
of the reason we're going to keep her
around. I think
that's
under the tutelage of Spencer, though.
She's not under tutelage. I mean, she fired him as a manager.
That's
now
right.
She had a psychic. And
she's
now
busy
she's,
being the Prince of Bhutan.
Now she's managing herself because she wants a serious shot at superstardom.
She has the biggest boobs of anybody I've ever seen that isn't trying to have the Guinness World Records.
Well, she wanted to get larger, but they top off here in the States at 800 cc's or 900 cc's or whatever she's got. She's got as big as she can get. If she wants another size, she has to go out of the country. She is legally topped off when it comes to boob size.
How about that?
She asked them, and they won't give her any larger. The FDA has not approved implants any larger than that.
She
has to go to Costa Rica or something. But apparently she's not done yet, so we'll have to wait and see where she goes for her next set.
Awesome.
Good times. Just porn, right? She's got to go to porn.
Yeah.
I mean, what other reason for that is
there? I would, too. I'd be in it. Cast me. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Danica Patrick is 28 years old today. Sean Farris from Never Back Down is 29. Catherine McPhee celebrates her 26th birthday. Lee Pace, star of the beloved but departed Pushing Daisies, is 31 years old. Actress Lark Voorhees and her brother Clark is 36 years old today. Marcia Cross is 48. Elton John turned 63. Aretha Franklin is 68. And Sarah Jessica Parker is 45 years old today. And I don't know if you saw the news, but apparently Matthew Broderick and she were on the red carpet at an event recently, and some reporter asked Matthew Broderick what he thought about a new book, apparently, that slams his wife's appearance, and while he was standing right next to her, he defended her, which I thought was sweet.
Matthew Broderick, are you upset your wife is made fun of so much in the book?
Well, obviously, I just think it's wrong to make fun of anybody's physical appearance. My wife is a beautiful woman, and I know that most people agree with me.
Uh-huh, and Matthew, how come a transvestite donkey witch is standing next to you, and why is it wearing a dress?
Yes, that's a question we often ask ourselves. That was from last night's South Park, by the way. Good work, guys. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And don't forget to join us tomorrow morning for an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Pretty, if I do say so myself, pretty large program for a Friday. It is movie beat time. Ralph Garman will be here with that. Also, the Ace Man returns.
Yeah.
Adam Carolla. We Can Rage. If you like the motocross and you like Bubba Stewart, he's got a new reality show. We'll find out what's up with Bubba. That's on the program today. Will California be the first state to legalize marijuana? Lisa,
Dude.
You told me the polls that you're hearing suggest that it has
finally,
a chance of passing, right?
Yeah, it has finally tipped just by 5%.
They're going to put it on the ballot and then people vote it down and blah, blah, blah.
I don't know.
Blah,
at some point, they won't.
Yeah.
At some point, they'll vote it in.
They're stoned enough.
We'll also talk about wedding disasters on tomorrow's show. There's been a couple of cases lately of just crazy stuff. I mean, wait till you hear tomorrow about a woman arrested for showing her own boobs at a wedding. That's the kind of wedding that you need to go to, right?
Yeah.
And another story about a game of Russian roulette that broke out at the reception. What's up with that? So we'll talk about that.
Isn't a wedding enough to keep these people entertained? That additional entertainment to the ceremony?
And it's not 100% yet, but we've got an excellent shot of talking to the kid who has the perfect bracket for round one of the NCAA playoffs. He was 48-0, which means he picked the Kansas upset and everything else that happened last weekend. 48-0. He's autistic, and I don't know how he does it, but let's get some picks from him tomorrow, right?
I don't care if he can paint. I just want to know how he does those picks.
Anyway, all of that tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next. How about some Metallica for you? Also, Phoenix on the way. The new band Dead Country, Offspring, Jack Johnson, and more. Straight ahead right after this on good old K-Rock.